much about.
Unless your local government has given you other instructions, turn on the radio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey...
He ripped your face off!
Man, I seen that movie too and I fell asleep on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Armenian comedian!
How y'all doing, Hollywood?
You know, we Armenians are just like the...
That's right. Everybody wants a piece of my meat.
You're a doo-doo head.
It's literally like my mother spewed out gold out of her vagina.
Oh, yeah.
Like a garden, I dig it.
Sorry, you're just a tool.
And now...
What time is it? Time isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
I don't even understand that.
What time isn't it?
I don't even get that.
I think that was Mad Men, wasn't it, Lisa Mays?
I think so.
Like
yes.
What time isn't it?
Which won a for the third year in a row, I believe it won the Golden Globe for best drama on television this year. And I got to give Kevin all the credit, man. He's the one who came
Thanks.
In day one when that show aired and said, "You guys are missing out if you're not watching Mad Men. It's the best thing on television."
Oh yeah, he didn't watch it just once. He watched it twice.
That one over Dexter.
Yeah,
it sure did. I mean, yeah, I called it.
Your Michael C. Hall and your John Lithgow both won Golden Globes too, though. So they were certainly rewarded for an outstanding season. That's for sure.
As they should have been. This is one of the best seasons since the first.
Oh yeah.
By the way, we're gonna take your phone calls on any topic. Tuesday edition of Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew 1-800-520-1067. There was a New York Times going again back to Sunday Night Golden Globes. There was a New York Times blogger who was live blogging the show, as lots of entertainment sites do,
right?
Where they basically are updating people who can't watch or are making comments to entertain those who do. And he was mystified as to why Michael C. Hall showed up wearing a knit cap. What's this dude doing, playing a Bob Marley in a movie? What's he trying to hide under there? What the hell's going on? And you can imagine when he found out from all of the readers on the site that he just had chemo and lost all his hair, he was suitably embarrassed.
That's awesome.
But how funny is that? The guy from the freaking New York Times who's covering the Golden Globes, I don't know, maybe knows something about one of the biggest stars in television and what's going on with a pretty high-profile disease.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's
it's not
all
like they
just,
kept it under wraps
said.
Very well.
Yeah, it's not like he showed up and nobody knew. Everybody knew, except for you, sir. You're an idiot. But I thought that was a great moment.
So. Well, you know what I did? I recorded it and I just fast forwarded to the Ricky Gervais
Ricky
parts.
Ricky Gervais parts. That's a great way to do it.
And he didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't use him as much as I mean. He was good.
Yeah.
He's always funny. I mean, he's never bad. I we'll talk about it more later. The Golden Globes. We're fine. I mean, they weren't great. They weren't bad. I mean, there's nothing bad about them. There's nothing can't miss about them either.
Yeah.
They were just kind of there, you know. But, you know, a lot of stars, a lot of chicks in booby dresses. So, I mean, it was worth tuning in for, I guess.
I've never heard them referred to as booby dresses, but I like it.
Booby. And by the way, one more note before we go to your calls. If I could figure out a way to not watch them in high def next time, if I know Cameron Diaz is going to be on my TV,
oh,
then I'll
really?
Do it.
Really?
Whoa.
That made
– Dude.
Really?
Seriously?
What, Cameron Diaz in
is
high def
problem?
Is rough.
Why?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well she's
have
just
– bad skin.
She's got bad skin and she's – And she's super, super thin, so her face is kind of skeletal a little bit. And she just – you know, her hair was all pulled back and she just – I mean, she looked like – I don't know. She looked like she'd just been pulled out of under a building in Haiti.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. You got to – there must be some pictures somewhere, but rough, rough, rough. And just startling in high def. I mean, she came on the screen. You were like, ho!
All right. Let's start with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
I want to say hello to Kevin and Me listener Fia, who is streaming us online through iTunes in Belgium right now, by the way, listening to the program. Preparing for hellish midterms this week and practically dying. Thanks for making it more bearable, Kevin and Bean. Hope you have a good show. Love, Fia. So we appreciate hearing from you as well. Of course, you can listen to the show anywhere around the world. And you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is the prize you've been waiting for. It's a pair of tickets to the Pro Bull Riders at Honda Center, Friday, January 22nd.
Yes.
There you go.
PBR, PBR.
PBR. Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Oh, oh Bull Riders.
Oh, sorry. All right. Let's start with Michelle, who we talked to, I believe, last week. And we asked her to call back with an update.
Okay.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We are good. How are you?
Doing good. I just wanted to thank you guys for doing a good show because my boyfriend really liked it. He's been listening, and now he doesn't think I'm such an idiot anymore.
She forced him to listen. We really? Said, and she said, be funny. And we said, what are the chances of that?
Because we had already been funny a few days earlier. We didn't think it was likely we could pull it off twice in 1 week. But he was satisfied with that show that he listened to?
Yes, he was very satisfied. He's been trying to get up early and keep listening. And
oh, I wouldn't get up early. Honestly. There's no radio show on the planet that would make me get up early if I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Although, we appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I just think he's making a bad choice.
What are the chances that the whatever little bit he heard was actually good? They're like minuscule. We should play the lottery or something. That was unbelievable.
Michelle should play the lottery.
Someone should play. That's all,
right.
All I know.
Well, Michelle, thank you for getting him into the show. That's very cool.
Thank you guys very much.
Most of the time what happens is, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend tells the other one about the show too much, and yes. Then they get mad.
And they break up.
And they break up.
And then they're done.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to line two, what's your guess, Kevin? Stripper name or real name?
Oh, stripper. There's okay. No possible way it's anything else.
Let's find out. Hey, Treasure.
Hi.
How's Autumn?
Stripper name or real name?
It's actually real.
Wow.
Really? Your name is 100%. Treasure?
Lot to live yes. up to.
Wow.
And you're white?
Excuse me?
And you're white? Yeah, good question, Mike.
What happened?
You're brown.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, how many treasure chest jokes have you heard and pirate booty jokes have you heard in your life?
So many. It's unbelievable.
Why would your parents do that to you?
Oh, actually, my parents did not name me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's unusual right there.
Somebody swoop in at the last second in the hospital and name you?
No, some childless woman insisted that she name me because she didn't have any kids.
Yeah.
So my mom actually let her have the honors.
Well, that's a terrible idea. That's mistake number one for your mom.
Wait, your mom let somebody else name you just because she wanted to?
Actually, she used to work with her, and she felt bad for her because she had never had any kids, and she was kind of old.
Right, that's fine. I understand that. But yeah. Then at some point she said, go ahead and name my...
You got a veto power, right?
Trust me, the mom. Whatever they were going to name me was infinitely... Treasure was a much better choice. Let's just leave it at that.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I agree with Bean. A woman tells your mom treasure and your mom says, try again.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, that's not why you called though, right, Treasure?
No. I actually called because I couldn't sleep because I was too excited about the Coachella announcement.
Oh, man.
Yes.
You know, everybody has different music tastes. Everybody thinks this year is better than last year. Last year is better than this year. But
regardless, I am just excited. I just wanted to hear it. And I'm actually up doing my hair right now just to, because I got nothing else going on.
Wait. You're up doing your hair so you can listen to the Coachella announcement?
No, that's because I'm already up, so I might as well do something.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yes.
Well,
yes.
About an hour and a half from right now, we'll be unveiling who's playing Coachella this year and when tickets go on sale and how much and all that good stuff, all right?
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Treasure. What's happening where parents let other people name them Treasure?
I have never heard of that before.
Me either.
I mean, that's the one thing you can count on is every person you met was named by their parents. Let's try Will. Will has an interesting take on the current situation. Line 6 is where he is, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Will. What it do?
What it do? Hey,
what it
I want to talk a little bit about marijuana economics.
Okay. Marijuana economics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, with all this current legalization that's been going on,
attempted legalization, right?
Attempted legalization. It's become so readily available that nobody's buying pot anymore. They're buying pot from clinics. And then leaves people,
Oh, you're a street dealer. You're a street dealer, and you're upset that they can now get the real stuff at the clinics?
Well, it's not so much that. I mean, I'd like to sell to the clinics, but, they pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And,
So you're telling me that benefit of legalization of marijuana is that illegal pot dealers are going to be squeezed out?
That's what I'm saying.
I got to tell you, that is sad because you illegal pot dealers are the ones that have kept us all alive for the last 10 years.
The last 100 years.
You've done good work.
It took a certain amount of guts for the past 10 years to do, you know, the thing that I do.
Right. And, I'm giving you credit for that. And what would this world be like if it wasn't readily available while illegal?
Very weird, this conversation.
This guy deserves our thanks. Yep. That's all I'm saying.
You know what's
you're
really
interesting?
You're going to be a citizen of the day.
You're a good guy, Will. But what's really interesting to me is I always hear the politicians that will go out on record and argue for decriminalization or legalization. And one of the benefits they always promise is, and it'll knock the street dealers off. And I always think, I wonder if that's true. And now I know for real that it is. Oh, that's very funny.
That's rough. All right, Will. I don't know how to help you, but thank you for your service to our country.
Yes.
You're a great American.
How come Martin Luther King gets a day, but Will doesn't? That's what I would have asked.
Well, we need to put the wheels in motion. We can make that happen.
So.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We are going to announce Coachella.
Yeah. Yes.
And I got to tell you, for my money, best Coachella in years.
It's pretty great.
Have you seen it? Did you
open
it?
Really? Yes.
Wow. So you're the only guy who knows?
Well, I'm sure other people know.
I mean, there's in our group, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Weird Al?
Every night.
Oh, that'd be the best.
Headlining every night.
Wouldn't that be the best if you were headlining every night?
Oh, one night he closes with Eat It. It's just, that wouldn't be good. All right. We also have highlights of the Golden Globes. Is that, you know what was weird to me, Bean, is that Ricky Gervais always drinks beer while on stage, and you really don't see that in American television ever.
True.
Ever.
No.
True.
And I've seen his stand-up, and he always has a beer there, but I didn't realize. I mean, every single time he's on stage, he's got beer, and he kept picking up the beer and referring to it and stuff. I thought, it's been years since I've seen that on.
Apparently, that's quite necessary for him.
It is, yeah. It was worth it just for the joke that he made about...
I don't know. I didn't watch it, actually.
I want to see if Kevin can come up with it.
Oh, thanks. I'm not going to try then. Jeremy Renner, the star of Hurt Locker.
There it
is.
Which is, I watched again over the weekend. That is an amazing movie. Really good.
Yeah.
He's the star of that, so we're going to have him in. Harvey Levin will tell us about the celebrities this weekend. We have the Armenian comedian, who I believe is going to do a charity for Haiti.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you heard me.
Like they haven't suffered enough.
And Bean's getting audited by the IRS, so we'll give you details on that as well.
Excellent.
But Coachella's the big thing today. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Bean.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Ralph Garman is here with an extra special showbiz beat to catch us up on what we missed. Hey, Ralph.
Tragic news this morning. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Glenn Bell has passed away.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Glenn Bell is.
Okay. I miss him.
He opened a restaurant back in 1948 that featured his favorite taco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He called it Taco Bell.
Oh,
that guy does good work.
Yeah.
He sold his 868 Taco Bell restaurants to Pepsi back in 1978 for $125 million.
Wow.
And in 1978 dollars, that was something.
Wow.
Yeah. There's more than 5,600 Taco Bells in the U.S. alone. So his legend lives on, even though Glenn Bell is no longer with us. He will be buried wrapped in a burrito, they tell me.
For 89 cents.
And apparently we'll keep coming back again and again and again for the rest of the afternoon after they bury him.
Yeah. How dare you.
Ugh, give me some Tums. Chris Pine and Olivia Munn, our friend Olivia Munn.
Yep.
Apparently they were all in love just 2 weeks ago. People Magazine now says their romance is over.
Aww.
Yeah. I heard they're shopping for a house together.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Hmm.
Must be Psycho Mike.
What are you?
She must be in love with you. She was in the other day.
Yeah, sure.
She saw you and just, you know.
I have that effect. I mean,
you have that effect on women.
If you're going home to Chris Pine and you catch me, you're like, well, I don't know.
Who was the porn star in the other day was hitting on him and he did nothing about
Tara
it?
Tara Patrick.
Tara Patrick. Did nothing about it, by the way. Nothing.
I know.
Nothing. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll have sex with you. He's like, gosh.
And at first, I was like, I think I played that perfectly. Like, I was coy about it. Now I really feel like I failed.
No. You did play it perfectly, but there's some follow-up needed.
Hold on a second. Did you have sex with her?
No.
Then you didn't play it perfectly.
Yeah,
I'll explain that much to you.
I failed.
The perfect result of that would have been...
Right.
And if barring that, there's no good way to play that.
I thought he got off to a good start.
See, I called him out at the time as, look, it's one thing to play it cool. It's another thing to be so low energy that you don't seem interested at all. And I think that's where Mike ended up.
Yeah, it didn't work well for radio, but a lot of my moves were silent, but I was like giving her the look, like the accepting
silent,
look.
Silent,
yeah. And I was like winking. I was winking and stuff. And I, like I said, at first it seemed cool, but then now I realize I failed because there was no giggity.
Yeah. You're silent but deadly.
Does gotta have the giggity.
Does winking still work?
Well, it didn't.
Apparently not.
Obviously not. Yeah. Yeah,
it is if you wear a straw skimmer hat and have a handlebar mustache.
You can take her for some ice cream, are you, Mike?
Go down to the beach in a bathing costume.
Ass.
He is an ass.
Pete Wentz's son, Bronx.
Ooh!
Has put him in the doctor's office. Star Magazine said that Pete got a pinched nerve from carrying his 20-pound toddler around in a carrier. So he ended up at the chiropractor.
Wow.
Because he is soft.
What are you saying?
I'm saying he's weak.
He is weak.
Carrying his kid around threw his neck out. Kid weighs 20 pounds. Can't carry 20 pounds without just going all to pieces. Meanwhile, Pete Wentz is picking a fight with someone he might have a shot at winning.
Who?
Perez Hilton.
Oh.
They're going to slap it out?
Apparently. Perez put something up on his website about Pete and his son, Bronx. Let me read you the... It was a photo of them walking in New York, and this was the caption. Did little Bronx Mowgli just realize his dad is douchey Pete Wentz? The father and son duo were spotted taking a walk around the streets of New York. Poor baby, we'd be crying too. Well, apparently Pete Wentz went ape-ass all over him.
Yeah.
Sent an email to the website saying, I don't care what you say about me or really anyone else, but don't talk about my kid. He is not as bloated or as mean-spirited as you, a 30-year-old former closeted bully. Say it again. Slip up one more time, it won't be on the internet. I will make you less than what you are. I will break you, and you won't know it's me.
Wait a minute, who said this?
Pete Wentz.
Awesome.
Wait.
Come on.
Please put that on television.
Please make that a pay-per-view boxing event.
Stop it.
What? Come on.
I will break you.
In one fell swoop, Pete Wentz made himself more of a mo than Perez Hilton.
Which is difficult.
Say it again. Slip up one more time.
Slip up.
I will get you. So,
and let's face it,
Hollywood feud.
That's what Perez wants. I mean, Perez just played him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't even say anything about the kid, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He said, here's the son walking with his douchey dad.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be crying, too.
That's true.
He used the kid as a weapon against his douchey dad, but he didn't say anything wrong bad about the kid.
His dad is douchey.
His dad is way douchey. And can't carry anything, apparently, or else he gets a slipped disc. And he's soft. Well, by now you know that Conan O'Brien is making $30 million not to come to work in 2 weeks. How do you get that deal, by the way? How do you work
kidding.
That out?
Yeah.
He is going off the air, and Jay Leno will be returning to the Tonight Show. Never saw Jay's show last night, but he pretty much boiled down his version, at least, of what happened with NBC. And pretty much said, through all this, Conan O'Brien has been a gentleman. He's a good guy, and I have no animosity towards him. This is all business. If you don't get the ratings, they take you off the air. So, $30 million, but Conan apparently, hasn't officially been announced, but Conan apparently will have his non-compete clause taken out of his contract so he can go get another job if he wants to.
Oh, okay.
And then NBC will just pay him up to his next job, and then that salary would take over. They don't have to keep paying him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, it's $30 million if he chooses to stay out of work. He can make that money if he takes another job. Then NBC doesn't have to pay the full 30.
Why do you guys think Conan's show did not do better? I know it hadn't been on very long, and it does take a while to ramp up with a new host of The Tonight Show or any show, but the ratings were spectacularly low for Conan.
Yes.
I think some of it was the lead-in, of course, but...
I like Conan, but I think it takes a while to get used to him, even more than most hosts. I think it takes some time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think the audience at 11:30 is very different from the audience at 12:30, too. I think the people who were watching Conan were mostly college kids and stuff like that. People watching Tonight Show are largely sort of middle America working people, and this is the last stuff they watch before they go to bed, before they go to work. And it's just a different sensibility.
And they don't get Conan?
And they don't get Conan. I know. We'll see how Jay does when he goes back to the Tonight Show. Wouldn't it be funny if the ratings still stay
just dropped.
Low?
Hmm. They brought back Conan.
Pray for that. NBC would just be losing their minds, wouldn't they?
It'd be awesome, Kevin, if they brought back Conan.
Brought back Conan.
they fire Jay in 4 months and bring back Conan.
I see. Bring back Arsenio. Make Arsenio the new host.
That's a good call.
Or Sinbad. Sinbad tells me he's one of the most successful comedians of all time. I don't know if you've seen the new Celebrity Apprentice commercials with Donald Trump.
No.
And they show you all the different people talking about stuff. You know, it's like, I won the Olympic medal for the 100 meters, whatever that guy is. And Sinbad comes on and says, I'm the most one of the most successful comedians of all time.
Did he say those words?
Said, really?
Did he say those words?
What is the criteria? What are we judging? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Singer Dolly Parton is 64 years old today. Dolly Parton is.
Giant size cans.
Yes, indeedy. Yep. Made her career on them. Speaking of comedians who aren't funny, Paul Rodriguez celebrates his 55th birthday today. Actress Katie Sagal from Married with Children and Futurama. She is 53 years old today. Speaking of people who aren't funny, Sean Wayans from White Chicks and Scary Movie is 39 years old today. Drea Di Matteo from The Sopranos is 38 years old today.
Actress. Belle.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
How can you act so surprised?
Because I've seen her face. Because I've seen her face.
Have you ever seen an episode of The Sopranos?
Yeah. She's a great actress. I saw her on Joey, too, but didn't make her pretty.
What are you going to do?
I gave her a bell.
All right.
Actress Jodie Sweetin.
Yeah.
From Full House. And from a lot of crack houses, too. Full House and Crack House. The two places she used to star. She is 28 years old today. And Dancing with the Stars contestant, former Olympian Shawn Johnson, celebrates her 18th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Bean has been, he's been playing host to a couple of agents from the IRS, which I find funny.
Aw, that's so nice of you, Bean.
Yeah, I was audited 5 years ago. And by the way, not only did it go well, they ended up owing me money. And I think they want to make sure that that doesn't happen this time. So they are asking for everything in the world in this audit of 2007 right now.
Awesome.
To the point where they'll say, well, I see on your credit card statement here that you subscribed to USA Today. Do you have a receipt for that? And
really?
I say, what do I need a receipt for? It's on the credit card statement that I subscribed to USA Today.
Isn't that a receipt?
Yeah.
Apparently they also want a receipt. They want a receipt from USA. I mean, that's the type of thing they're asking me for right now. It's insane.
I think they just hate you.
We have that.
It could be.
We have an IRS agent on the line.
I've had enough
of the IRS.
Do we have to? Really?
If you don't mind, we have Brian Weissman on the phone. Hey, Brian.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Brian, you're not part of my audit, are you?
Yeah, actually, I'm the agent in charge.
Oh. Well, then crawl out of my ass, could you?
Well, I don't know if we need that tone at all. I don't know if it's going to help your situation at all, Mr. Baxter.
I think his tone is wrong, too.
I think it might be in your best interest if you just cooperate with the IRS, and we can get this thing settled as quickly as possible.
Well, I have been cooperating, but it just seems like you question every single line of my tax return from 2007, and it's completely legit.
It's important for us to be thorough. That's we feel at the IRS, and that's I think you would want us to be thorough because that's how you know that we're getting the proper tax from your income, and you're getting the proper amount of deductions, and if you're entitled to it, any money back to you.
All right. What else do you need, Mr. Weissman?
The field agents have contacted me. We have some questions about some of these deductions you said you've taken over in 2007.
Okay.
To 409 CD copies of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald as a business expense.
Okay.
I don't see why you need that many of them, 409 copies.
I don't see why you need one, but
you never know when there might be a flood or something, and you may lose a lot of them to the water. You want to make sure you always have a playable copy, sir.
Yeah, that's not.
Oh, you're taking that right off the top. Come on.
Travel expenses for getting haircuts in 50 states. What the hell is that?
That's only just begun, Mr. Weissman. Only just begun.
That hardly seems like a business expense to me.
Every 2 or 3 months, I go to another state, sir, and get my haircut. I mean, that's...
Why? That seems excessive. Don't you have any place that cuts hair on your island there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically I could get my hair cut.
All right, then we're not
allowing
that.
All right, that's gone too.
Paid to have a rooster murdered.
That's true.
Okay. No, that's true.
Bean, you said you didn't know.
I can vouch for that.
I don't see how
didn't
that is
know.
A business expense. Does it help you get sleep? I don't understand.
I didn't pay at all. I just complained to the neighbors about the rooster making too much noise, and they, quote-unquote, took care of it. I didn't have anything to do with that one.
You say here your home gym.
Home gym.
We took a look at that, Mr. Baxter. That's just a room with a television and a mini fridge.
Taking that off. Wow.
24-hour round-the-clock surveillance team on Rachel Nichols, actress Rachel Nichols.
Okay, now that's legitimate, though, because one day she will be mine.
That's a personal expense, though. Certainly not a business expense.
Yeah, that's correct.
2007 salary to the actress who plays your wife. That's
wow.
It's not a business expense.
That
I'm sorry.
Very
important to keep up appearances in the show business. You know that, Mr. Weissman.
Sorry, we can't allow you to take that deduction.
That's too
bad. Medical expenses here. Sprained thumb from tweeting. I'm sorry, that's on you. I was tweeting
something about work, though, I recall, when I got hurt.
Tickets for the Barry Manilow concert as part of your sex reassignment surgery.
Did you say sex reassignment surgery?
Yeah, Paige's got a big list of the sex reassignment surgery.
I didn't realize that.
No.
We weren't supposed to declare any of that. That's my error. I'm sorry.
Spent almost $1,400 in gas driving around to save $13.94 on CDs in 2007.
Yeah. That he's done.
We're going to work
the sales.
We're going to slap you with a stupid tax on that.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. I didn't realize you had that.
So let me see. We just got this. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. You should just have your check sent to us next year.
The whole year?
Yeah, the whole year.
Don't want to say anything, but making the Coachella announcement a little later today.
Well, you just said something.
106.7 K-Rock. It's not tied into the last song or anything. It is 21 minutes after 6.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about those Cardinals, first of all? Haven't had a chance to mention that.
I saw the first play from scrimmage, and then I turned it off. Did I miss anything?
No, it continued going well. Okay. Your Cardinals, Kevin, gave up 90 points in the last two games.
I know.
90 in two games.
Well, I mean, that's not ideal, if that's what you're saying.
No. What happened?
I don't know. They just fell apart.
They're your Cardinals.
I don't know.
All right. The unfortunate news is that the Armenian comedian is coming up in about 50 minutes or so here in the Kevin and Bean Show, but it's for a good cause because he has a way to raise money for Haiti. So I think we owe him at least the opportunity to explain what he has worked up and how much money he can raise because they need every penny we can send them. Also, the Coachella announcement on the way and highlights of the Golden Globes. Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro is on the air. Here's our phone number, toll free just for you. Well, toll free if it's a local call. 323-520-AFR is the number. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the radio.
We're talking about homeless people and bad run-ins that you have with them. Perhaps they yell at you, perhaps they hit you. Who knows how it goes, but Dave, the King of Mexico, puts up a podcast that you can download, and this guy was just getting to that story.
Listening to the podcast about homeless people. And a coworker of mine was walking back from a restaurant with leftovers and wanted to offer it to someone. And the guy said, what is it? They said, well, it's chicken and pasta. And the homeless guy looked at him and said, I'll take the chicken, but I don't do carbs.
That's the healthiest
homeless guy ever.
I can't tell if that's a joke or if that's real. It sounded real.
Yeah, I hope. I believe it. I totally believe it.
Remember this song that we were making fun of last week?
What the hell? I finally got that song out of my head, and then you play it at 7:50 in the morning before I get to work. It was in my head all day yesterday. I was so pissed off that you played that goddamn song. That. Lady Gaga, Lady Suck Suck, yeah.
Lady Suck.
That's what he said.
Really?
Look, that's the best insult he could come up with.
There's only two acceptable other names for Lady Gaga. You can go with Lady Kaka if you don't like her. That's acceptable. Or if you're Psycho Mike and you want to call her Lady Goo Goo, you can do that. But other than that, nothing else works.
Suck Suck is just lame. Sorry.
No.
Nicely done.
From the creators of Thanks for That Info Bean. And now a moment with Kevin. Comes a brand new segment called Why is Ralph such a dick? Why is Ralph Why is Ralph such a dick? Dick.
We'll have to start that feature.
Yes, okay. I think so.
All right. That's a pretty good idea, I think.
And he shoots, and he scores!
Come on. Death Metal Rooster makes a return.
How about that?
I love that.
We were off yesterday because we're good Americans.
Why are you guys taking the day off? Just because it's Martin Luther King Day? I mean, come on. You guys aren't even black.
Lisa is. Right? Lisa?
Yeah.
She's black.
Yeah, of course.
And it's been raining in Southern California, and it's way too much for my taste. I'm about to just, I got to move someplace sunny.
It's going to rain the rest of the week.
I have to move someplace sunny.
Part of next
week. No.
Oh, my God. I just went outside today, and there was water coming from the sky. It was, like, falling on me. And I'm so scared. I went inside, and I saw on the news, it's coming. It's here. We're all going to die. We're all going to jump. Please, God, help.
Listen, I know. If you're listening online in North Dakota, you know, some parts of the Midwest, it's been, I don't know, 52 below wind chill.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
But it's been like 68 with sprinkles here in Southern California. So don't expect us to feel sorry for
you. We got like an inch yesterday.
An inch.
Yeah.
Where's George Clooney with our benefit? That's what we're saying.
Text Kevin and Bean to 90999 and $10 will be sent to us.
The following takes place between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
No, that's not accurate. I'm sorry. That is not even close to accurate. It's actually later than that. But thank you. Who watched 24? Seriously.
Seriously. I didn't watch it comedically. I didn't watch it at all.
Seriously.
I was with Lisa. I like the show, and I could do it in small doses. But when they put 4 hours on over two nights, I know that I'm never going to be able to get through it. I'm going to start off the season behind.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't finish last night. But, yeah, I did watch Sunday night, and that show rules. As long as you can suspend your disbelief with a lot of stuff. It's a good show.
I think it's exhausting.
A lot of great things about it, but just 4 hours. I don't have it.
Here's the thing about Jack Bauer. He doesn't want to do this anymore, Bean.
Right.
And they keep drawing him back in.
Poor guy.
But what choice does he have?
He doesn't have a choice because he's a good American.
Yeah. He needs to save the world.
That's correct. And exactly. If the world is in jeopardy, we look to Jack Bauer.
So Jack Bauer was on Jeopardy?
Yeah. Did I say Jeopardy? No. All right. Let's talk about the Armenian comedian because he is who we turn to in a time of need.
Is
that accurate?
We do?
Yeah.
First of all, we got a message left for us the other day. Apparently, even though you only hear him on the radio two or three times a year, apparently he is in contact with people who work here on a daily basis. He apparently calls some people in the building every single day.
Many times.
And he left a message near the end of last week that sounded like it had some urgency to it. And it sounds a little something like this. And
this is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency.
Wow.
Call me back, please.
Okay.
If it's that much of an emergency, why don't you leave us a little, something to go on.
A clue.
Some kind of clue.
Yeah, that'd be good.
No one called him back. And then he called and left this message.
Yeah, I'm going to organize the earthquake relief fund with my fan club. And then they're going to donate money towards Haiti and Armenia in 88 was earthquake also. So I want to do a stand-up and rock and roll show.
All right. So he's going to raise money with his fan club, of which I know nothing. I don't think he has one.
I'm pretty sure that's
And true. The proceeds are going to go to Haiti and to Armenia for the 1988 earthquake.
Is that what he meant by that?
I
thought he was saying, we know what earthquakes are like and how bad they can be because we had one in our country. And by our country, I mean a country Sam has never been to.
That's true.
But you think he's actually still raising money for them too?
I don't know. Who knows what? That's why we have him on the phone.
All right. Let's find out what's going on with Sam, the Armenian comedian. Hi, Sam. Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you as well, Sam.
And Lisa May, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you,
All right,
Sam.
Let's get rid of the pleasantries. What's the emergency?
Well, listen, people are dying left and right, you know, and they are helpless.
Right.
And
right.
Even though you raise money and it's not happening anything in sort of.
It's not happening anything in sort of.
Is that what he said? Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
What do you mean it's not happening in anything sort of, Sam?
Sort of, that means when it happened, earthquake in 88 in Armenia,
mm-hmm.
and 3 days, the Russian communists, they didn't let anybody to go in and help them.
Okay.
Okay. And how is that relevant today? Because I don't understand.
And they say it wasn't an earthquake. It was a tunnel under the village
okay.
that they built.
Sam.
Yes.
How does that relate to now? Are you raising money for the 1988 earthquake in Armenia, or are you just raising money for Haiti?
Both.
It is both.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Why are you sending money to Armenia, if that's really a country, for something that happened 25 years ago?
Well, it's the same thing. You know what? Helpless. Still, whatever happened, still helpless.
Right.
How would you like to have, if you have a not proper plumbing in your household? What do you feel?
So we're giving him money for plumbing?
No, I'm saying an example.
Okay. But here's the difference,
if you
Sam.
Heater, an air conditioner
okay,
doesn't
Sam.
Work properly even in your car.
Sam, here's the difference. One of these earthquakes happened, within a week, I think, a week ago.
They're still unburying
today,
people,
yeah.
digging
and,
people out.
And the other was 25 years ago. Now, do you think there's enough money to go around for both from your charity event?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And upcoming earthquakes.
And
upcoming of a tsunami kind of a thing is going to happen.
What?
Okay. So you're trying to get money into people's hands so that they have it when the earthquake or tsunami hits.
Yeah. You know what? It's not going to happen.
What?
I want to have all this press.
Wait a minute. Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? We need some clarification.
Have to be there. Red Cross has to be there all the time.
Right.
They should just live there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's move on. Let's assume we all know what you're talking about, and let's find out how you're going to raise money. Look, I called in and donated last night. CNN had a big 2-hour special with a bunch of stars. They raised almost $8 million while they were on last night on the Larry King Show.
Yeah.
I mean, people are very – let me finish, Sam. People are very, very generous. Americans are the most generous people in the world, and where there is a need, we will come through. But you've got to inspire them. You've got to get the message out how desperate this situation is, Sam. How are you going to do that?
Two, three million. France gave you four.
Pete, he was talking the whole time. I just had to. Well, I had him turned down so that we weren't talking. Hey,
you
Sam.
Know, America, 100 million, okay? You know?
That's right? A good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. America, 100 million.
How are you going to raise the money, Sam? That's my question to you.
What is your charity event?
Yeah, I've been telling you, and I'm still stomping on the stone, that I want to have a breakfast.
Okay, but that sounds like it's more to promote you than it is to raise money for Haiti. What are you going to do to raise money to send to those poor people under buildings?
You said emergency, 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 and it sounded...
I'm theater again. We're going to raise money like a breast cancer. Earthquake relief cancer.
Earthquakes relieve cancer?
I didn't realize that. That's good news.
So there is a
silver lining.
You were doing concert for breast cancer, right? So you're going to do another one?
We did April Foolishness last year. We had a big comedy concert
for
boarding for breast cancer.
Right.
Yes. Is that what you're referring to?
Hello?
Yeah.
Sam, you made it sound like you had an event that you wanted our help in promoting, not that you were going to call up and browbeat us into holding an event. What are you doing? You said something about a band or a stand-up comic show. What? Your fan club?
Yes, I'm building a fan club, and I'm going to do a concert, a stand-up and rock and roll show for Earthquake Relief. Do you understand my English, or should I talk to you in Armenian?
Oh, now it's getting insulting. I'd like you to talk to us in Armenian since you've never been there.
Oh, sure. Would you support that for me? I really appreciate it.
Well, wait a minute now. So you're saying you're having a concert rock show, and what's our part? Our part is just to publicize it?
Yes.
Your fan club?
Do the show for me, and then I'll do the rest.
Okay. When is your show? We'll be happy to promote it. If you're raising money for Haiti, when is your show? We'll tell people.
Okay. It's going to be in Comedy Store, February the 8th.
Is that a Monday night?
Monday night, 10 p.m.
And that's open night, Mike. Open mic night.
No, it's not.
Hey, take it easy.
It's not open mic.
Okay, so are you speaking for the Comedy Store that they're going to be willing to give up the money that people pay to get in to
yes,
donate to Haiti?
It's called the Ding Dong Show website.com.
Yeah, that's a open mic.
Open mic.
Dang, that's what
it's
that
not
is.
Open
it
mic.
Is, Sam. It is.
It is.
No one's paying you to be there.
The last 15 years and more, I've been there. Like you guys, I've been with you guys. I don't know for.
Right.
How many years now? 17
too many.
Years,
way
18
too.
Years?
Way too many. Years.
Okay, so you don't have anything. Basically, you called and you left messages that lied, and you're wasting our time. You don't have anything planned to raise money for Haiti.
No, I have a plan. I told you February days.
Your plan is to show up at open mic night,
and it's that's free. The Ding Dong Show is free, Sam.
That's a free show. How do you raise money with that?
How do I raise money when people come, and then we start between the show? We have a. Donation time, and then people just donate money, and then
right.
We have a pot going around and donate money and checks.
All right, I'm down. Okay. I think it sounds like a good plan.
Okay. And by the way, I think that money is going to pot, too. Not only is the pot going around, that's where the money's going, if I know Sam.
Right.
All right, Sam. Well, once again, you've wasted our time, and you've made us regret putting you on the air, but
not
thank
me.
You very much.
Not
I
me.
Didn't waste any time. I'm helping.
You are
that's
helping.
Right. You're
that's
helping.
True.
Okay.
You're all right.
Great amount of help. Say goodbye to us in Armenian, would you, Sam? And to you as well.
This is KROQ, and it is 6:53, and we're about a half hour from the Coachella announcement.
You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show, highlights of the Golden Globe show from Sunday night. By now, you already know who won, if you care, but we will bring you some of the comedy highlights in just a few minutes, and the Coachella announcement for you next hour. Did Kevin need more time off or less time off? I can never
way
tell.
Hard to
the
say.
Announcement will be a good
way,
announcement.
Way more.
The
Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
So many things. Have you guys gotten the email from your friend yet who's trapped in London? Have you gotten that email yet?
No. No, what do you mean?
This is the latest internet scam.
Yes.
Someone hacks into one of your friend's address books from their email. And then sends out an email to everyone that person knows saying, hey, it's your good buddy Chris. I took a trip to London, and I lost my my credit cards and my passport and everything. Can you send me some money so I can get home? And it comes from your
friend. From someone you know.
Yeah. And initially, I was concerned for my friend until I got three emails from three other friends who took a spontaneous trip to the UK and suddenly lost their passport and their credit cards.
You really have some rich friends that seem to travel a lot.
And some apparently useless friends when it comes to traveling. They don't know how to hold on to their passports or their credit cards.
You better teach them a lesson by not sending them.
I just thought of that because I just got another one from another friend.
Oh, good.
Chris, who apparently is trapped in London. So I better send him some cash.
Sucks to be Chris.
Seems like a good idea. I'm just going to get Western Union on the phone.
Well,
he's a lot
gonna,
of money.
He's going to pay you back.
Oh, when he gets back.
As soon as he gets back.
Sure he will. Absolutely.
So that's good.
Just send it to Chris in London. We'll get that.
Dear Chris, here's some cash. Pay back when you can. Speaking of the Golden Globes, have you heard about the latest controversy about Bill Paxton from Big Love?
No.
Oh, apparently he loves cancer.
Hey. What does that even mean?
There's a big brouhaha going on for some Yahoo said they were watching the Golden Globes. And when they gave out the award for Best Actor in a Dramatic Series, Michael C. Hall won for Dexter.
Right.
And they cut to Bill Paxton, who was also nominated.
Right.
And someone swears that they can read his lips, and he says, I lost to cancer. And now poor Bill Paxton's being raked over the coals for being an insensitive lout for making a cancer joke about Michael C. Hall as he went to the stage. And I've watched the video a dozen times.
You have.
You can't make out anything the guy's saying. You cannot.
So that
maybe Marlene Matlin can. But anyone else really would be hard-pressed to make out anything he's saying as his head is turned and he's talking to someone else at the table.
Oh, that's
he could have said,
crappy.
I lost to Dexter as easily as I said, I lost to cancer.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
But it's in the New York Post today and it's on several other websites. Everyone's talking about...
That's
Paxton
nice.
Saying either something about playing the cancer card or I lost to cancer or something along those lines. So it sucks to be Bill Paxton today. Dude.
On a side note, Michael C. Hall was great in that show.
Absolutely. And Paxton looked
fine. He was applauding, yeah. And he seemed fine with it. As were the rest of the nominees.
I do love the award shows for that reason, though, is because they announce the winner and then they immediately get a camera on all four of the other people that were nominated.
Capture the human drama,
right? And then they have to act like they're all happy.
I'll tell you, that category specifically was Hugh Laurie for House, John Hamm for Mad Men, Bill Paxton for Big Love, Michael C. Hall for Dexter. I said, wow.
How do you pick out of those guys?
But, it was well-deserved, so congratulations. One of our favorites from Celebrity Rehab, Jeff Conaway, in the news.
Uh-oh.
He's still alive?
Can't be good.
Well, I don't know, Lisa.
No, really?
Yeah, why don't you save your hilarious comments until you hear the story how he fell down a flight of stairs yesterday.
Oh.
Still want to make some jokes, Lisa?
That does not surprise me at all.
You and Bill Paxton are just a-holes. Apparently, he suffered a brain hemorrhage, a broken hip, a broken arm, and a fractured neck in the fall yesterday.
Wow.
Dude. He is at an undisclosed hospital. Details of his condition have not been released, but I'm guessing they aren't good. I'm guessing condition troublesome.
Wow.
If that's Lisa doesn't want him to die. She wants him to stay alive and suffer.
Apparently, yes. Lisa has no sympathy for poor Jeff Conaway, who tumbled downstairs yesterday at his home.
It's just not right.
You know, it is not just right. Did you guys see Human Target over the weekend? With Mark Valley?
Taped it. Didn't see it.
Oh.
Is it good?
Is it going to be good?
It wasn't a TV show, though.
No, that's
it is really good.
I like it.
It looked like it's the kind of thing I would like.
It's on tonight after Idol. They're re-airing the premiere episode.
All right.
And it's excellent. Check it out if you get a chance. I really enjoyed it. You watching Teen Mom over on MTV?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. That's hilarious. Nothing funnier than just teenagers having babies out of wedlock, completely ill-prepared to be parents. Yeah. And you wonder what happens to these kids. Where's the disconnect between all the information at their fingertips and the birth control is readily available? How do they make such horrible decisions? You wonder that until you read a story like this, where Farrah Abraham, one of the stars of MTV's Teen Mom, was allegedly strangled by her mother on Saturday during an argument at their home in Iowa.
Oh.
Farrah's mom, Deborah Danielson, 54 years old, got into an argument with her 19-year-old daughter over an MTV T-shirt and apparently grabbed her by the throat and started strangling her, punching her in the head and mouth until cops arrived and arrested her.
Wow.
Now it all makes sense to me. It's like, how can this girl be so screwed up? Yeah. Well, there's her mom strangling her over a T-shirt.
Neither one of them should have had kids.
That's right. Sad news, man. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Drea Di Matteo, Adrian from The Sopranos, 38 years old today. She's also on another show. She's joining another show. What show is she on? Desperate Housewives?
Maybe. Don't know.
All right, there's a solid maybe on that story. Jodie Sweetin from Full House is 28 years old today. Singer-guitarist John Wozniak of Marcy Playground celebrates his 39th birthday. Don't laugh. We'll probably play him next. Don't be chuckling. They'll probably be sometime this morning. You'll be hearing Sex and Candy.
Coachella announcements right around the corner, Ralph. Don't get people's hopes up. You start talking about Marcy Playground.
Katie Sagal is 53 years old today. Comedian Paul Rodriguez is 55 years old. And country singer, actress, show business legend Dolly Parton celebrates her 64th birthday today.
Bunny!
Does anyone know what she really looks like, that Dolly Parton? She took off her wig.
She's never been seen without makeup.
She took off the
week.
Makeup.
No.
And
no
she was
clue.
Walking down the street pushing a supermarket cart.
I'd recognize the boobs, but.
Yeah, of course you would.
But she's looked like that my entire life.
What if she took the bra off?
Oh.
And then she was carrying just, cassava melons in some pantyhose. Started dangling down around her knees.
She's always said it costs a lot of money to look that cheap. But she
sounds sexy.
And that's the time before she steps out the front door, that's for sure.
Bean can give you a list of quotes from Dolly Parton. One of the few guys I know who can do that for you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. I want to welcome listeners around the world tuning in for the announcement of Coachella 2010. Yes, we have that for you. Who's playing? Of course, by now you may already know when the show is, but when tickets go on sale and the breakdown night by night. We have all that information for you coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we were off yesterday.
So we did not get a chance to discuss the Golden Globe ceremony that was held Sunday night at the Beverly Hilton Hotel immediately afterward. But there are some highlights I think you're going to want to hear anyway. Kevin, you did not watch much of the show, right?
I scanned through it to see Ricky Gervais because I find him funny. But other than that,
yes. Okay. And Lisa May, you didn't get to see any of it either because
no,
you were
I was
in Mexico,
out of town.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ricky Gervais is the host. We were all very, very excited he was going to be the host. And he did deliver. He was very funny. I agree with Kevin. There wasn't enough of him on the show. They didn't give him all that much to do. But it occurred to me as I was watching, a lot of people in this country probably don't even know who Ricky Gervais is. Think about it. His two big series were on HBO, which a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, that's true.
None of his movies have been successful. He hasn't exactly been a name player, right? So it makes sense that when he comes out, the first thing he does is remind people who may not know who he is, well, he's the guy who created The Office.
You probably know me as the creator of The Office. No, you don't, do you?
You think Steve Carell did it all? Oh, he's brilliant, isn't he, Steve Carell? He's amazing as the bumbling office manager. Where does he get his ideas from? Let's pay him hundreds of millions of dollars and put him in every movie.
Or if you think that particular version of the show has jumped the shark a little bit, this is what some of the forums are saying, then watch the original, Fridays, on Adult Swim.
So Ricky took advantage of every opportunity to promote something that he had coming up, whether it was a new show at HBO or his website or his movie, The Invention of Lying, which came out last year. In fact, a very funny joke about that.
I've had thousands of emails over the past few days saying, why, oh, why was The Invention of Lying not nominated? I don't know. Maybe the DVD win an award. That's out Tuesday at Walmart. So go and buy that. One thing that can't be bought is a Golden Globe. Officially. I'm not going to do this again anyway.
His whole attitude was, what do I care? I'm not coming back. By the way, I did hear that the ratings were way, way up this year. I don't know if that was a result of movies like Avatar or whatever, but they may invite him back because he did very, very well. One of the funniest performers of the night, and there's not a lot of comedy on the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes are great in one respect, is they don't bore you with a lot of BS awards. There's no hair and makeup awards and costuming awards and things like that. I mean, almost every award is a major award, which is kind of fun. Of course, it's movies and television, so you get lots and lots of big stars. Couldn't be more star-studded. Paul McCartney is still the biggest star in every room he goes in.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable to see the lines of people trying to get to his table. He was sitting with Julia Roberts, by the way.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who was, at the peak of his fame 40 years ago, he's still the biggest name in the room. And actually, he presented an award. He was very, very funny.
My name is Paul McCartney, or as I'm now known, that guy from Rock Band. I have been asked to present the nomination for the Best Animated Feature Film. I have loved animation since I was a kid, Lady and the Tramp, Yellow Submarine, which is about to resurface, by the way. But animation is not just for children. It is also for adults who take drugs.
Yes, that is very, very true.
That's true.
Matter of fact. Of course, Up was the big animated winner. No surprise there. Harrison Ford was in attendance.
Hype man Harrison Ford. I love him. Is he alive still?
He comes out with a big clock around his neck. Look, hear my whole thing. First of all, pick it up. Okay. First of all, try. Project.
You know what I think is happening is he lives on that ranch by himself, and every once in a while he checks in with good old what's-her-name.
Most of the time
he's outside, and he's quiet, and he's not talking to anybody. He hasn't had any experience talking. Yes.
He is. You're absolutely right. He's like a monk who took a vow of silence and has been cloistered for 20 years. And now he comes out into the big world and all of a sudden it overwhelms him.
Yeah.
But he gets up on stage and he's 60-something years old. He's still rocking the earring, which I think is kind of douchey. But he doesn't really bring the energy necessary. And I swear to God, this isn't edited at all. I'm going to let this roll as long as you can take it. But here's Harrison Ford. Introducing one of the five Best Picture nominees. I think he's doing Up in the Air, but check out Mr. Ford.
In our next nominated film, George Clooney plays a downsizing executive.
Now, am I lying or does he sound a little strokey, too?
He's saying, please tune away, is what he's saying.
Yeah. He sounds kind of shaky. I thought, wow, Dick Clark's presenting at the Golden Globes? What's up?
Who spends his life on an airplane? Lucky guy. Suddenly, his pattern is threatened by new policies, new relationships.
Doesn't he sound like they pulled a guy out of the audience somebody who lined up at the red carpet to see the stars and said, hey, I know you've never been on stage before and you've never read a teleprompter before, but go ahead and read what's on the screen.
I don't think so. Because
he sounds nervous.
I think they would have more energy because they'd be excited to be up there or whatever. I don't know what his deal is. He is the most boring man in America.
He doesn't sound like a guy who's ever done this before.
And the realization that eventually life brings us all down to earth.
Okay, that's about all I can take of that. That's Harrison Ford. Ricky Gervais, again, hosting the Golden Globes Sunday night, had a couple of very funny lines about some of the people that he was bringing on stage, including this one.
The Golden Globes is shown all over the world. It is oblivious to color or creed. It doesn't just celebrate talent. It celebrates difference. It crushes prejudice and stereotype. One stereotype I hate is that all Irishmen are just drunk, sweary hellraisers. Please welcome Colin Farrell.
He comes on out. If there was one line that got the most play after the Golden Globes, it was poking fun of Mel Gibson, which, you know, some people don't have the guts to do. Mel's a pretty big player in Hollywood, but not for Ricky.
I've had a couple. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, listen up.
He was drinking. He drinks.
I haven't offended anyone. I didn't mean, it's not my fault. It's a lot of powerful people here, so if I said, it's...
Pointing at the liquor.
Honestly, I like a drink as much as the next man. Unless the next man... It's Mel Gibson.
He was so pleased with that, too. It should be.
Mel Gibson walked right out. How great was... I don't mean he walked out of the room, but he walked out to,
walked out to
the microphone.
To do something.
Yeah, and then he tried to make fun of himself, but it didn't really work.
Robert Downey Jr. might have been a surprise winner for Sherlock Holmes, but I thought he gave a great speech as well.
If you start playing violins, I will tear this joint apart. First of all, I'd like to thank Susan Downey for telling me that Matt Damon was going to win, so don't bother to prepare a speech.
James Cameron was there. This is how I think all speeches should go. He, of course, won for Best Director and eventually for Best Film for Avatar.
Well, I'm going to try to make this as brief as I can because, frankly, I have to pee something fierce.
That's a great idea, by the way, is just force everybody to drink.
Wow.
And don't let them go to the bathroom, and the speeches will be awfully short.
Lock the bathroom.
I'm actually not well prepared because, frankly, I thought Catherine was going to get this, so I'm kind of winging it here.
This is interesting, and I didn't know if a lot of people knew this, but Kathryn Bigelow, who's also nominated in that category, is the director of a film called The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
She did not win. Jeremy Renner, the star of that movie, is going to join us later on today's Kevin Bean Show. James Cameron used to be married to Kathryn Bigelow, and it's been so interesting for me to see throughout this award season to see an ex-husband and wife up against each other in the same category. She won the, I think, the Critics Award, Critics' Choice Award or whatever they call it over the weekend as well. So they're apparently good friends and very, very supportive of each other. All right, final clips from Golden Globes on Sunday night. They bring out the big guns. Arnold Schwarzenegger is there, the governor of California. He's there to introduce a clip from Avatar. Now, we've been making fun of Arnold for a long time because, frankly, he's lived in this country for more than 40 years. And
right.
He still can't speak English, right?
Right.
How tough a word is Avatar to say?
Avatar?
It seems simpler than most.
It does, right? It's not a difficult, it's not a tough word.
No.
Arnold, for some reason, has trouble with it.
Wondering why I'm introducing Avatar.
Avatar?
Really?
Avatar?
Wondering why I'm introducing Avatar. Well, first of all, because I'm a good friend of Jim Cameron, and I admire him, and also we have done 3 movies together. And also because Fox and I made a deal that half of the gross receipts are going straight to the state budget.
That's good news.
See?
So,
one more time. Great.
This is Avatar.
Avatar. Congratulations to Avatar.
So he not only said it that way, but repeated it that way.
Yes. Yes, numerous times.
Nice.
Currently is now Avatar. Right? Anyway, good times, Golden Globes, good ceremony. I hope Ricky Gervais comes back. He's very, very funny. A quick break. We have everything you need to know about Coachella 2010 after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the most wonderful time of the year. If you are a fan, as we are, of Coachella, are you ready for the announcement for Coachella 2010? Hit it, Steve.
Empire Polo Fields, Indio. More than 100 bands, DJs, and artists. Coachella. Friday, April 16th. Jay-Z. April 17th. Muse. Sunday, April 18th. Gorillaz.
3 days and nights in the desert, including Tom York, MGMT, Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Ben Crooked Vulture, Faith No More, Tiesto and David Guetta, Pavement. Tickets on sale Friday at 10. Keep listening to Pick Your Day of Coachella. K-Rock.
Now, to me, that sounds like the best show ever.
Sounds pretty great.
Pretty strong. I mean, obviously, no Weird Al. I'm automatically disappointed unless they're saving him for later. But, yeah, when you got Jay-Z headlining Friday, April 16th, Muse headlining Saturday, April 17th, Gorillaz and Tom York on Sunday, April 18th, you got yourself a show.
Plus, you get a chance to see them Crooked Vultures, which, of course, is Dave Grohl on the drums. And it's an amazing band. You're going to love that. Vampire Weekend, if you've not been out to Coachella, it is an amazing, amazing 3 days. There are like three tents and two stages or maybe even more. I don't know. And you just walk from place to place. You discover new bands. There's hundreds of bands. But if you haven't seen Jay-Z yet, I got to tell you, he is worth seeing, even if you're not a huge rap fan. He's really brings it.
He's a great live performer, yeah. And the beautiful thing about Coachella, and I think the reason it has become a nationwide destination for music fans, is you may come because you love, you know, Pavement or Phoenix or Spoon or whoever it is you're into, to name a couple of the bands on night number two. But then you'll go, hey, I never heard of these Grizzly Bears. I never heard of Passion Pit. Who are these people? And you'll walk around and you'll just be introduced to so much great music. And there's all sorts of left field choices. I mean, Grace Jones, for God's sake, is playing on night number one. Sly and the Family Stone is on the bill. I mean, bands that you never would probably go pay to see somewhere.
Is Sly going to play?
Well, I don't know. It says Sly and the Family Stone. I hadn't heard that Sly had been doing anything with them. I mean, obviously, they were a massive rock band in the 60s and 70s, but have been pretty sketchy since. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Julian Casablancas is on the bill. I mean, here's speaking of old school, how about Gary Numan, for God's sakes? Speaking of stars from the 80s, a lot of great up-and-coming bands, including Hot Chip, The Dead Weather is going to be there. Dirty Projectors are going to be there. Gossip, Z-Trip, I mean, MGMT. Unbelievable lineup, more than we really have time to read every name of all three nights. But I'm telling you something about this Coachella. If you can swing it, go all 3 days, because it'll be 3 days you won't forget all year long.
Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Friday,
right.
10 a.m. This Friday, 10 a.m. And you can buy, I believe you can buy like last year, Friday or Saturday or Sunday or all three.
Okay.
So Friday at 10, Friday at 10, Friday at 10. Could not be more excited about this lineup. It is fantastic, and here it is again.
Polo Fields, Indio. More than 100 bands, DJs, and artists. Coachella. Friday, April 16th. Jay-Z. Saturday, April 17th. Muse. Sunday, April 18th. Gorillaz. Three days and nights in the desert, including Tom York, MGMT, Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Ben Crooked Vulture, Faith No More, Tiesto and David Guetta, Pavement. Tickets on sale Friday at 10. Keep listening to Pick Your Day of Coachella. K-Rock.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. We just made the announcement for Coachella 2010, Friday, April 16th to Sunday, April 18th. All the details can be found at krock.com. Including Tom York's new name, which is Tom York, ?
What's that about?
That we'll have to get into that later, but that is what he has changed his name to officially. So go to krock.com for all the details on Coachella. It is 7:37.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. As we mentioned, the Coachella announcement just on the air. Details at kevinandbean.com. If you want to get the complete lineup, tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 for one, two, or three nights. Big show still ahead, including embarrassing celebrity run-ins. If you missed Kevin's story last week of how he melted when he met Magic Johnson the other day, you will enjoy it very much. We're going to want to hear your stories. Also, TMZ.com's Harvey Levin will join us. And from the Hurt Locker, actor Jeremy Renner is going to be here. That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about this new Ozzy Osbourne book. I am Ozzy.
Okay.
I was so surprised to hear that he was writing a book, not because I don't think he's led a fascinating life. He has. But what can Ozzy remember?
Well, that's funny that you would bring that up, because he does start off with a disclaimer at the beginning of the book. And I thought I would I'd read it, because it's quite a disclaimer. I've never seen one quite this strong.
Okay.
Other people's memories of the stuff in this book might not be the same as mine. I ain't going to argue with them. Over the past 40 years, I've been loaded on booze,
coke, acid, quaaludes, glue, cough mixture, heroin, Rohypnol, Klonopin, Vicodin, and too many other heavy-duty substances to list in the footnote. On more than a few occasions, I was on all of these at the same time. I'm not the effing Encyclopedia Britannica, put it that way. What you read here is what dribbled out of the jelly that I call my brain when I asked it for my life story. Nothing more, nothing less.
Wow.
So basically, he's just doing the best he can with what little memory he has left.
Correct, yes. He's pretty much just recounting what other people tell him happened.
Right, exactly.
At this point.
The autobiography, which is called I Am Ozzy, by the way, is going to be in American bookstores, I think, on Monday. It has already been released in other parts of the world, but it is coming out on Monday. And we are lucky enough to have gotten a hold of the audiobook of the new Ozzy Osbourne autobiography. I mean, look, here's a dude we love. And as Psycho Mike will tell you in excruciating detail, he's one of the three or four most important people in the history of heavy metal. I mean, this guy is the OG when it comes to that, Black Sabbath in the 60s. So he's got a fascinating story to tell. Let's hear a little bit of the audiobook and see what he remembers.
I am Ozzy, Ozzy Osbourne, Chapter 1, early years. I was born in Aston, Birmingham, England. My father's name was Jack. And he was a toolmaker. And my mother, Lillian, also worked in the car for a company that made car components. I have five siblings. My father's name was Jack. He worked as a toolmaker. And my mother made car components. I have five brothers and sisters.
Brought that up.
Oh, no.
My name is Ozzy Osbourne.
Right.
I was born in Aston, Birmingham, England.
Started with that.
My father's name is Jack.
Got it.
Got that.
Yeah, my son's name is Jack.
Right.
My son's my father! Sharon!
Maybe Ozzy shouldn't have been doing his own audiobook. It concerns me that he's not the right guy.
Really, if you're going to get this story, though, don't you need to get it from him?
From Ozzy's lips.
I mean, so here's another chapter in the audiobook from Ozzy Osbourne.
I am Ozzy. Chapter 10. My early solo career. In 1979, I was fired from Black Sabbath because I said I was doing too many drugs. All the bands did drugs. Everybody in my band did drugs. So why would they fire me? And they replaced me with Ronnie James Dio. He's a midget and he does drugs. And so I had to go solo, because in 1979, they fired me from Black Sabbath.
Yeah, right, said that.
I don't know why they fired me.
Drugs.
Oh, that's right, it's because I did drugs. Anyway, in 1979, I was fired from Black Sabbath.
Got that point. Right.
Why? I'll never know. Oh, wait, it was drugs!
I was wrong. I think he's the exact right guy to do it.
Who else could tell the story of Ozzy Osbourne better than Ozzy?
Sure.
The book is I Am Ozzy. This is the audiobook that we have, and here's another chapter from it.
I Am Ozzy, Chapter 21, The Osbournes TV Show.
Oh, good.
In March 5th, 2002, The Osbournes premiered on MTV. It was a huge success. The show featured me, Ozzy Osbourne, and my wife Sharon, and my son Jack, and my other son Kelly. And it was the most watched series ever on MTV.
Wow.
Many people don't know that The Osbournes was the most watched series ever on MTV.
Right, you just...
It premiered on March 5th, 2002.
Started with that.
Starring The Osbournes. Me, Kelly, Tito, Michael, Randy, and Janet. It was the most watched show on MTV.
On MTV, right.
The Osbournes starred me, Michael, Jermaine, Randy, Tito, and Reby.
No.
Sharon, I miss my brother Michael so much. Can we raise blanket?
Can we raise blanket?
I Am Ozzy is the name of the book. It comes out on Monday, but we're saying get the audio book. You'll enjoy it.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. We are Coachella Central today. We made the announcement about the huge lineup April 16th, 17th, and 18th a few minutes ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the Coachella people have issued an update, Kevin. We were talking about how you could buy tickets for single nights or all three this Friday at 10. So far, that's not the case. Now they are telling us three-day passes only on Friday. No single tickets yet.
But maybe.
They don't know when they're going to start selling single tickets, but they probably will at some point.
Okay.
But not Friday. Exactly.
But not Friday at 10. No. So Friday at 10, only three-day passes.
Right.
Okay.
As of this moment right now.
As of right now. Okay. And so they have a layaway plan, too, which you don't see every day. A layaway plan where you can actually pay a little now and then pay some later.
Good idea. So definitely stay tuned here to the Kevin and Bean Show. We will continue to give you updates as the Coachella brass continues to change their mind. Right now, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
More details about Conan O'Brien's deal with NBC that will get NBC off the hook in terms of having to placate both him and Jay Leno for their late-night television lineup. Jay Leno is moving back to host the Tonight Show at 11:30. Conan O'Brien is going away, and NBC is paying him $32.5 million to do so. Apparently, they've hammered out a deal. It was going to be a long, protracted legal battle over what was in the contract that Conan had with NBC and whether there was a breach of that contract or not. So apparently, they have settled on this number, $32.5 million, and it shakes out like this. Conan goes away.
Forever?
And not forever, but he can work at another joint in the fall. So by in September, he can take another gig, but he's going to sit on the bench until then.
So he has that many months vacation, and he gets paid $31
million. $32.5
million,
but he doesn't get all of that if he takes another job in September. If he goes to work for Fox,
right,
and they're giving him $25 million for his year, NBC will pay the balance up until $32.5 million, but he doesn't get both salaries.
Oh, I see.
He gets one or the other. Hmm. If he doesn't work, look, if he doesn't take a job at all, if he doesn't go to Fox, let's say, in September, he just sits it out, he'll get that $32.5 until the year is up. But if he takes another job in the interim, he only gets the salary plus whatever would make up the difference for the $32.5 million from NBC.
All right.
I hope he doesn't work because that hurts NBC the most. But what happens to Triumph the Insult Comic Dog and the Masturbating Bear? Who gets those?
That is NBC's intellectual property rights.
Really?
Yes.
So Brian Williams will start using the Masturbating Bear on the NBC Nightly News now?
So Conan can't take those creations that aired on that show on NBC with him.
Oh, man.
Wow.
If he goes someplace else.
All right.
Okay. Which shouldn't come as a surprise, because if you guys were, say, to go to another station, you wouldn't be able to take stuff that you had done on a regular basis here on this station, because it would be considered the intellectual property of the company.
Yeah.
The difference is someone else would hire Conan. So
yeah, that's true.
That's true.
It's a moot point for us.
Also, NBC is paying a severance to Conan's Tonight Show staff. Going to pay them a certain amount of severance. So the total for NBC comes to around $40 million when it's all said and done.
Wow. It's an expensive mistake.
It sure is.
And they lost Conan.
Yeah.
Yet, Zucker continues to keep his job when every single year NBC is in worse shape than the year before, yet they still let that dude run the network.
I heard a discussion about that, and I guess their stock shares haven't gone down, and that's why he's still there. That's all anybody really cares about, who's an investor in the end.
Well, they're part of a big conglomerate. Universal had a really good year. Their cable channels have had a banner year as well, USA Network and TNT and a couple others that Universal owns. So NBC really is the least performing of all of that sort of conglomerate. So the stock numbers still have been pretty good.
Interesting. That's why he's
but it's one of the reasons Universal is looking to offload NBC and sell it to Comcast, because they would like, apparently, to get that off from around their necks.
So. Well, as long as they keep the microwave division, I'll be happy.
Meanwhile, serious things are happening around the world. Haiti is still an unbelievable, unmitigated disaster. Just you can't imagine the conditions over there right now. Show business is doing its best to step up and try to raise some money for relief over there. Of course, George Clooney famously is already putting together that telethon that will air on January 22nd on many of the major networks on television. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are making high-profile donations, as you can imagine, and making pleas for other people to do the same. Wyclef Jean is also has his own charity. He is raising money for relief in Haiti. All of Hollywood is getting involved to the best of its ability, including young Hollywood. It's nice to see young
actors and actresses, starlets, take a position that shows that they have things on their mind other than themselves. Gossip Girl star Taylor Momsen was interviewed at the Victoria's Secret store in New York City, where she was promoting the new Victoria's Secret beauty fragrance, Love Rocks. And she was asked what she was going to do in terms of the relief effort for Haiti. And she said, right now, I'm just trying to finish my record and get through the last season of Gossip Girl for right now. So not so much thinking about that.
She said that
she
out loud?
She said about Haiti.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out loud?
Yeah. That's nice. That's good to know that she's...
We weren't asking her to fly there.
She's got a global vision, which I think is nice. Yeah, I know, earthquakes and all, but trying to finish a record here. Hello.
Recording.
In the studio. Hello.
Those people can't even buy my music. They're poor.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Glee has become quite the hit in the past season.
Ooh.
Show on Fox is a popular as well as a critical favorite, and looks like they are going to be able to cash in on that by getting some high-powered guest star action this coming season. Jennifer Lopez apparently in talks to star as a lunch lady in the school cafeteria this season.
Oh, that'd be funny.
That would be funny. Apparently, there is an all-Madonna episode in the works, which may include an appearance from Madonna herself, say producers. And also in the works is a duet with star Jane Lynch, who was very funny on that show, doing a duet of the song Let's Get Physical with Olivia Newton-John. I'm not kidding.
That sounds
actually
in
the works. That would be awesome. I wish she had won at the Golden Globe Sunday night. She was nominated.
I did too.
Well deserved. There were a couple of BS awards in that show. I don't know if it
was. Are there?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who won?
I mean, Monique.
She was great.
Did you say Monique?
Precious.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Her speech, by the way, shut up. Oh, dear God. Her and James Cameron, we're speeches of the night. Jeff, give yourself a round of applause, seriously, because you people are great, too, not just me. This is for you, people. Okay. And if it takes me teaching people how to appreciate Earth by creating another planet, well, that's the magic of cinema, people. That's the magic right there.
James Cameron said that?
Yeah. He's a blowhard.
This is Avada.
Did you see Monique's Avada legs?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All
yeah
of them.
They were
yes
woolly. How many does she have?
She no, doesn't you shave them, right?
No.
You have to see
yes
this.
I'd rather not.
She was on the cover of, I think it was Entertainment Weekly something, and I, or People something. Anyway, I thought this has to be, there's something
it's
wrong with this. Her legs can't possibly be this hairy.
Yeah.
In a dress. Yeah, and all
don't
dolled
wear
up,
a,
too.
Don't wear a dress if you're going to show off your legs and you don't shave
it's
them.
It's unbelievable.
Ralph, I know you were disappointed that she won. She was the favorite, though, and I think is the favorite to win the Oscar for the same role in Precious as well.
But did they know about the legs?
Apparently they didn't.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Country singer Dolly Parton is 64 years old today. Just ask Bean about her museum. It's spectacular.
Yeah, he went. Yeah.
Here's a clip of Dolly singing perhaps her most famous song.
Oh, God.
It's a miracle that she was as successful as she was with a voice like
she's
that.
She's lost a step.
Maybe Monique can't reach her legs. Maybe that's why she can't shave them.
Her legs are hairier
that's
than mine.
That's inexcusable.
That's a man's leg.
Right.
Has that been photoshopped?
We're looking at...
That's not a woman's leg.
What would TylerDurdenDo.com? You can see the photos of Monique's
yeah
hairy
well
leg
no
there.
No, that's for... I'm sure it is, because I saw it in People or something.
That's for
she,
real.
In her defense, guys, and I'm no Monique fan, but she bulked up to play the football player in The Blind Side, too.
That's
so,
true.
I mean,
it's not,
some of that could still be left over from that role.
Yeah.
It's not her.
Did you see her Precious co-star, the girl who plays Precious? Gabby... can't see anymore. So fat. Her eyes have swollen shut. Her eyes have closed on themselves.
Is that right?
Her forehead now is so fat, it is weighing down on top of her eyes, and now the forehead meets cheek, and she looked blind, frankly.
That seems like bad. The villain in Dick Tracy.
That seems bad. It's a good call.
That bitch fat.
She looked like a Dick Tracy villain. That's absolutely true. It's like prune face.
I thought about a bitch.
I said to my wife, it's a shame she's blind, too, as well as being fat. She's like, she's not blind. She's like, really?
Wow.
Katie Sagal is 53 years old
that's
today.
Right.
From Lost.
What?
I don't think
Katie
so.
Katie Seagal? Isn't she John Locke's girlfriend in Lost? The most recent thing I've seen her on?
Maybe. Katie Seagal, we're talking about. Maybe. The actress.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her on Lawman. She's a cop down in Louisiana, right?
No, she's
Are you thinking
the
Sons of Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, she's a regular on that.
She's on series. Lost?
She was like four seasons ago. She was on Lost.
That was the last time I saw her on TV was on Lost. And they had flashbacks to her character, I think, just last year.
Why don't you update?
Just trying to stay current with Katie Seagal.
I'm saying you're not. She's in a regular series.
Well, I don't watch that show. So you're the opposite of current on her.
I don't know anything about Sons of Anarchy.
Well, then don't volunteer. Don't reach back for four-year-old references when there might be something fresher.
Well, I don't.
Leave it be.
It was years ago.
About everything.
Especially when the topic was him seeing the last thing she did. If that's what we're talking about, is the last thing she did.
Then... Right. When you brought up Katie Seagal, you mentioned Married with Children last hour, and I was thinking, wow, what's she been up to lately? And I thought, oh, she's on Lost. That's the most recent I've seen her on. No, she may have started on the show 4 years ago. She's been on since then.
That
I knew of. I didn't know about Sons of Anarchy.
Then don't speak.
Are we agreed on that?
Yeah.
You want me to start saying the last place I saw people?
No.
Sean Wayans, who was just on In Living Color. He's great on that. 39 years old today. Jodie Sweetin, who is the little girl in Full House. I love that show. Just caught an episode the other day. That's where she is now. Bean's Time Machine World. She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin Amin Show. Less than an hour ago, we rolled out details for you for Coachella 2010. Tickets go on sale for all 3 days as a package, they're telling us, this Friday at 10. The show is going to be April 16th, 17th, and 18th in the desert like usual. Jay-Z, Them Crooked Vultures, Vampire Weekend, PIL, Muse, Faith No More, Dead Weather, Devo. I mean, an unbelievable lineup. You know what Coachella is like. It's going to run the gamut from brand new bands who don't even have a record out to all-time classics, Pavement, Tom York. It's an unbelievable lineup. A lot of listeners, Kevin, have been emailing wondering if you're going to go to the show and if they're going to somehow get you to do the on-stage announcement to bring on Corinne Bailey Ray because she is playing on night number two.
Not so easy, is it? You stuttered for a second.
It's not an easy name. She has been away for a while, but she's back with a new record. She is playing night number two of Coachella. Corinne Bailey Ray is the name that they are asking about. I'm wondering if you have any kind of advice on how the person should introduce her on stage.
Corinne Bailey Ray, an unforgettable moment with Corinne. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
Corinne Bailey Ray.
All right.
An unforgettable moment with Corinne. Let's do it again.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's my favorite.
Why did they invite you back to do the Grammys? The Grammys are coming up next month, Kevin. Have they called you yet?
No, they have not.
Oh, I'm very sad.
I'm surprised they ever called in the first place.
I'm very sad.
All right, let's talk about embarrassing celebrity encounters. We've all had them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people that live someplace where you can run into celebrities. And we live in Southern California, so we run into them all the time. Psycho Mike had a great run-in with a celebrity.
Oh.
Tell me about yours, Mike. And then we'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe this person was your hero, and it didn't quite go as you had hoped your whole life.
Well, I was shopping at a clothing store about 2 months ago, and I turned the corner in one of the aisles, and I'm looking down at a female arm that has a Marilyn Monroe tattoo on it. And that strikes me as odd, because I'm like, that's the same tattoo that Megan Fox has. And sure enough, I look up, and I'm eye to eye, maybe a foot away from Megan Fox. So I'm thinking to myself, this is the moment I've been waiting for.
Yeah, your mind tries to race. Like, you only have a second and a half, a beat and a half, and then you try to go through the Rolodex of possible things to say.
Yeah. I'm looking right at her. She's looking right at me. She acknowledges that I'm there. She looks at me, and I say,
Did she run?
No. There was an uncomfortable silence for a good beat, and then I turned around and walked away.
Well done.
So the celebrity encounters that we're looking at are ones where you failed, right? We're not looking for, hey, I met this guy who's really cool. We ended up having a great time, and he signed an autograph and wished me well. We're looking for you froze, you panicked, you failed. If you had it to do over again, you'd so do it differently.
Yeah, we're not talking about celebrities that are a-holes either.
Right.
We're talking about you failed. Because I had one recently at the City of Hope charity event, and it really is difficult when you just bump into somebody. You go, you know, because
you're not at all prepared.
You don't see them ahead of time. You're not thinking about what to say, whatever. Yeah.
and lifelong Lakers fan, and bumped into Magic Johnson. And
okay, you bring up a great point. You were not expecting that Magic Johnson was going to be there, or that you would see him, or that you would talk to him. It's not like you got in your car and drove down to a book signing where you had time to think, hey, I'm going to be meeting Magic Johnson in an hour. Yeah. What am I going to say to him? It hit you out of the blue.
By the way, I'd like to suggest that I wouldn't have done any better had I had time to think about it. I mean, what do you say? I mean, really.
I don't know.
Somebody who's that big a part of your life, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to bands that have meant that much to you, and then you finally met them, and you just froze. Because there's no amount of time or words that could summarize what this person means to you.
Plus, you're overthinking it. Rather than just relating to them as a human and saying hello, you're trying to figure out, this is my only 15 seconds I'm ever going to have to talk to this guy. I need to get everything out that I've always wanted to say to this person, yet not bore him, not say something to him that's stupid, yet not say something to him that he's heard a million times before. So you kind of box yourself in when you think too much about it.
It's got to really count. So I came up with, and I wrote it down afterwards because I was so angry at myself. I came up, bumped into Magic Johnson. I just wanted, you're great. That was the conversation I had with Magic Johnson. It wasn't a conversation
great.
He smiled and said thank you and just walked on.
As he should.
And, that was it. That's you're what great. I came up with. You're great. It was pathetic.
You've had a few days to think about it. What would you say to him if you ran into him again today?
Probably I just wanted, you're great. Probably. I don't know. There's something about just being in the presence of somebody that you admire or you've watched your whole life or you idolize.
I was going to say you can relax a little because Magic Johnson gets that every day. That he's probably surrounded by failure of super Laker fans that just fail. You know, they get so flustered when they see him.
Yeah, but it is impossible to be what you want this to be because, you know, you want to sit down with him and have a heart to heart and you know he doesn't care. Really.
You want to recapture every minute of every great game you ever saw him play, and talk about how awesome it was.
Yeah, that didn't go so well. So, embarrassing celebrity encounters is what we're looking for. You failed miserably at 1-800-520.
Dialing us. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you run into?
Hi, I ran into Dave Grohl.
Oh, big star.
And by the way, Dave Grohl, just like Magic Johnson, the nicest people in the world to their fans and to anyone on the street.
He was awesome, everything I could imagine, but not one word came out of my mouth. He grabbed me, took the picture, and he's all, goodbye, have a good night. And I'm like, oh my God.
Did you just hold up your camera, or how did he know you wanted to take a picture?
My roommate had her camera with her,
and
she's talking, I'm sitting there like, oh my God, oh my God.
So you said nothing, he nicely smiled, took the picture, and then walked away scared. And said,
there's a trick over there.
The picture says it all, let me tell you.
Wow.
And have you beat yourself in the head ever since thinking of all the things you wish you'd said and done?
Oh, pretty much. Yeah. It's really sad, actually.
Did you just bump into him, or did you expect him to be at something?
Well, it was actually at the last Them Crooked Vultures here in L.A.
Okay.
We got into their after party and
okay, so you knew there was a decent chance that you'd run into him.
Yeah,
you had some heads up. Wow,
you are a fail,
and you still froze.
I know.
All right, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
From one fail to another.
I'm giving you fair warning. Them Crooked Vultures is on the bill for Friday, April 16th at Coachella. So you have another opportunity to try to get close to Mr. Grohl and maybe make it go different.
Although he'll probably have security keep you away. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Embarrassing celebrity encounters. More when we get back.
RV Levin from TMZ.com in a few minutes here to recap celebrities and what trouble they got into over the weekend. Actor Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker joins us in the final hour. And don't forget, you can go to KevinAndBean.com for all the details on the Coachella announcement, who's playing and when, and ticket information on sale, the whole deal. KevinAndBean.com. Check it out.
All right. We're talking about embarrassing celebrity encounters. I forgot about this one. But Aisa, who works here at the radio station, was backstage with me at a show called Rock the Bells.
Yeah. Rock the Bells. Good morning.
Hi, Aisa.
Hi, Aisa.
And that's where Rage Against the Machine was playing, right after Wu-Tang. So Aisa, huge Rage Against the Machine fan, as I am. And backstage, she just sees Zach de la Rocha, if you're white. Rocha, if you're Mexican.
Yeah, whitey.
And she says, that's basically what she said. And I said,
I've always wanted to hear Aisa make that noise. I'm sorry I wasn't there.
I was panting, hyperventilating. I was hysterical.
And he was sort of by himself, and I've met him before, and he's super nice. So I said, let's just go up, and, you know, you can get a picture. Oh, no.
So I went up. So I went up to Zach and I said, "Hey, I think I introduced you as my wife, just so he would." I shouldn't have though, because I wouldn't marry a girl who cries.
Shut up.
So he's so nice, and he just walks over to Aisa and he puts his arm around her, and I get the camera and I'm taking the picture, and he's just hanging out and he's smiling. And if I'm not mistaken, you were crying.
I was actually absolutely in tears. And here's the thing, is that you guys know that I don't freak out over pretty much anybody.
Anybody.
I mean, yeah. I'm pretty mellow when it comes to, you know, entertainers, things like that. But with him,
yeah,
all bets are off.
Yeah.
Everything. He is the epitome of, he's the love of my life.
Now,
of course.
Were you crying because we got pepper sprayed, or did we get pepper sprayed after that?
Okay, right after that, you know, he was done. He hugged. He actually gave me a hug.
Right.
I'll never wash again. And we walked away. We took a couple steps away. Thankfully, he was out of the way of the pepper spray.
Because you would have taken a bullet for him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have taken anything for him.
All right.
But in your mind, you've probably replayed that 1,000 times and thought, wow, I sure could have handled that better.
I was replaying, and then I was hoping the photo. I thought, okay, please let this be the one photo that doesn't mess up. The photo is perfect.
Did it work?
And he's smiling.
Yes, he's smiling. Can you see your tears?
No, you can see that. Well, you can tell that I'm just completely dorked out. If you know me, you can tell that,
yeah,
I'm insane in this picture.
Right.
And then right after that, we got maced.
That's what we got maced. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Thank you, Aisa. We love you.
You're the best. Thanks for calling.
All right. Mike writes in, "Hey, guys, I was working on the Marvel lot coming back from the cafeteria when I noticed Scarlett Johansson walking alone toward my direction." By the way, what kind of spot does that put you in? Scarlett Johansson is walking toward you, right?
No kidding.
"Her hair is dyed red for her role in Iron Man 2, but there was no way I could confuse those amazing cans. This was my defining moment. I asked myself, would it be worth losing my job over talking to her? I decided yes. As she approached, I panicked, and she walked past. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Forever, I will regret my decision. There will always be more jobs, but very few chances to tackle Scarlett Johansson." He should have done it.
Yeah, he should have.
All right. Let's try Dave. Dave's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike met Megan Fox recently and failed. Let's see how Dave encountered her and what he did. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, what's up? It was kind of a complete disaster.
Brian Austin Green. Brian Austin Green.
Brian Austin Green.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I guess they came into the place I was working at. I was a server at a restaurant. And they came in, sat down, and one of my coworkers told me that, you know, Megan Fox was there and that she's at my table. I was all excited. Went over there, and I could tell it was her, you know, like she had all like the same tattoos.
Right.
Do you know who Megan Fox is? Go ahead. What'd you do?
Yeah. So sorry. So then I started trying to talk to them a little bit more, and then I noticed that one of her thumbs has like this like weird infused thing, and so she looked like a lobster whenever she's picking things up. And then like she looked like Michael Jackson, but I know that at the very end of like right when I bring them their bill, I had to say how much I love her. Like it just, I had to. Like I'll never get this kind of, you know,
right,
this kind of shot.
So how did you say it?
Well, brought them their bill, and I said, "Hey, you know, look, like, it's great meeting you guys. I just want to tell you, Megan Fox, words cannot express how much I love you. I just hope you have a great day. And if you want, you know, whatever, like,
we call me back. Let's get together."
Like, yeah, and so Adam Green was just staring at me this whole entire time.
Or Brian Austin.
Good old Adam Green. All right, I want to punch you. I hope you did better with Megan Fox than you've done with us today, because I hate you. I don't know how Megan felt about you, but I hate you.
And what he means by that is thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. Learn how to tell an effing story, though. All right. Why don't we try Haley is on line 2. That story could have been told in 20 seconds.
Yeah, she was at my table, and I'm serving her, and I told her I loved her in front of Adam Green.
Right.
Or whoever that guy is. All right, Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Who did you embarrass yourself in front of?
So my dad gets to go to SAG screenings, mm-hmm. and it was Phantom of the Opera. So I had the entire movie to gush and be like, oh my gosh, maybe I can meet the cast. So the movie ends, and the stars, it was Gerard Butler and the god-awful director. And I'm like, oh, you know, Dad, I'm really nervous. And he goes, you know what, you should just go up, be totally cool. And I was like, yeah, I can do it. So there is this crowd of gushing women, gushing, crying, hysterical.
You say that as if you weren't one of them, by the way. Yeah.
No, I think I was too nervous. And, you know, there was a couple weird guys, and So my dad keeps edging me forward, and finally I get in front of him, and he turns around, and I just freeze. I have my hand out, and my mouth is wide open, and he just looks at me, and he smiles. And before I can say anything, this guy jumps in front of me and starts talking to him.
You got him stolen away from you.
And not only was I just standing there like, oh, I just got cut off by a complete nerd stranger, but I'm still standing there with my arm outstretched, and this
and your mouth open.
Kind of tries to bring me back because she's embarrassed for me.
Yeah, that's
but
rough.
He was gracious enough to afterwards see I was completely just mortified, and he actually invited me over to look at whatever this absolute embarrassment of nature was showing him. And I just kind of sat there looking at him.
Well, so he waved you over after all of that. He still waved you over. Did you have anything to say then?
I was doing this.
Welcome to my life.
Exactly.
And I'm a little starstruck now, so thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Haley.
Thank you for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, I flew to England specifically to see Patrick Stewart on stage in Hamlet. After the play, the cast was signing autographs in the lobby. Well, when my turn came, instead of telling him how much I admire his work, I just stared at him like someone having a stroke. Nothing would come out of my mouth. I opened my mouth to at least say thank you for signing my ticket, but just a little squeak came out. I turned and ran away. Wow, do I suck, Penn.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So embarrassing.
It's not good. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, a guy who has met plenty of celebrities himself.
Yep.
Right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Today's the day we rolled out details on Coachella 2010, April 16, 17, and 18 in Indio, California. People from all over the world will be flying out to see Jay-Z and Them Crooked Vultures and Faith No More and Muse, Dead Weather, MGMT, Tom York, Pavement, Gorillaz, so much more. You get all the details, including on-sale information for this Friday at 10 at KevinandBean.com. How about our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? How about bringing Harvey onto the show and find out what we missed? Hey, Harvey.
Hi, good Harvey. Morning, guys. How was it, mate?
Hello.
Restful weekend?
Not particularly.
Yeah.
Oh, but I did see Avatar.
We ask that every weekend, and Harvey is the most overworked man in the world. So.
I am.
You saw Avatar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Amazing movie, right?
I thought it was great, too.
I got so hammered in the newsroom because I didn't like The Blind Side, and everybody just thought I was this devil.
Yeah, well, that was a pretty good movie.
I thought I was the last person in America to have not seen Avatar, or as our governor calls it,
this is Avatar.
Avatar, right, Avatar. But the rap that I'm hearing from people is unbelievable special effects, absolutely you should see it, but the story, just kind of so-so, been there a million times before. Did you agree?
Been there, but still, it's like there's a message, and yeah, he needed to make it obvious because this was going to be seen by a lot of people who may not have gotten the message otherwise, and it was told so well that you kind of get the point.
Turned me off. I was upset, especially when they said shock and awe. More obvious? No. Could we make it more?
It takes
of a
you
point.
Out of the right. imaginary world and puts you into current day event.
Right, but having
Shock and Awe was the worst thing. You're right.
But having said that, it was an amazing thing to watch. So.
It really was. Yeah.
Well, Harvey, what do you want to talk about today? Heidi's plastic surgery, is that on your menu?
Heidi's plastic surgery is at the top of our website right now. I mean, what the hell? You know, I don't understand. Somebody in the room was saying what she's trying to do is she's just trying to get these gigantic boobs so she can work Las Vegas until she's 40. I don't know. You look at her face in this thing, and there's no expression.
Yeah.
I mean, she's so Stepford. I don't get it. I don't get it.
It doesn't look good, and you get the idea that it's going to turn south very soon.
Totally. And she's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So she's going to start going in for revisionist history when she's 27.
Yeah. Well, that's the point that Lisa brought up last. That was the most shocking thing for Lisa and for a lot of people, which is how do you even find a doctor to give you a brow lift at 23 years old? That seems medically irresponsible.
Wait, you're talking about a city that brought you, and can we name the number of celebrities?
Yeah,
I know. That's true.
Come on. Now, Conan, that's the one I
All like. Right, let's talk about Conan O'Brien.
Okay, so we found out, we're deep into this story, and we know what the deal is. And the deal is that Conan's going to walk with $32.5 million. All right. The staff will get about 7.5 in severance. Conan will agree to sit out for 9 months before he can take a job with another network. And if he does take a job with another network, then the amount NBC has to pay him of that 32.5, it'll be reduced by the amount he gets from the new network over the period of the NBC contract.
So if they pay him 20, then NBC just has to make up the difference.
12.5, exactly.
Okay.
Do you think Fox will get back into late night? That's the network that has been obviously most named. What do you think, Harvey?
Well, he did not. Fox did not make an offer when all of this went down. I know that because I'm told that Conan's people were advising him, don't leave NBC until you know that you have a place to go. But he was so pissed off that he said, I'm leaving. He is really, it's like war over there. I mean, they are really angry. But I think eventually, I think Fox is going to try to do it, but it's complicated because, you know, Fox, these local stations are all hurting, and they're making a lot of money off of these off-network sitcoms, and they're not going to make, it's not going to be as lucrative for them if Conan comes on because they're going to have to share with the network. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tricky for Fox.
Could I know this is a crazy idea on the face of it, but I mean, I look at the numbers that a guy like Jon Stewart pulls over on Comedy Central. What if they were to put a show like Conan's on a cable network like that? Could that work?
So funny you say that. I was thinking that yesterday. I thought, wow, what a great show for Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
It's like Jon Stewart. There's nobody hotter than Jon Stewart.
Right. And that show makes mad, mad dollars for Comedy Central.
Can I ask you, this is going to be such a stupid question.
All right.
When I forgot now who had Jon Stewart's show before Jon Stewart.
Yeah,
Craig Kilborn.
Craig Kilborn.
You don't even remember.
That's
neither
right.
did I.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I do remember when Jon Stewart took it over. I said to myself, "Oh God, he's gonna," because Craig Kilborn was kind of popular, and I thought, "Oh, Jon Stewart's never gonna make it on this because he's taking." But you don't even remember it.
Yeah.
With Craig Kilborn. So I mean, you can become so hot on cable right now and do things.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, it's so funny you say it because I was thinking that yesterday.
Well, I mean, think about that lineup. I mean, seriously, Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, and Conan O'Brien. I mean, that would be a very powerful nighttime programming for Comedy Central. It's ironic that... Yeah, exactly. Dream Demos, because the youth will watch. It's ironic that Conan is doing the best work since he's been the host of The Tonight Show this week, and that it's only going to last for a few more days. And Jay Leno, by the way, even for people who were kind of liked him or were kind of on the fence about him, all this negative publicity, all this beating up he's getting in the press has to be turning some people off that really didn't care one way or another before, right?
I mean, I think that's why he tried to do damage control in his show last night. And he said, look, here's what's happening here. I mean, it really is bizarre because, look, the guy who screwed it all up ain't Conan, ain't Jay. It's Jeff Zucker.
Right, right. Right. The guy who made the bad choices every step of the way, right.
And gets promoted all the time.
A clip that you have of Conan on your site of him saying that he's surprised that the situation has a TV show and he doesn't.
Is that funny?
That was so funny.
Oh, he's been, and I don't know if you saw yesterday, but we live streamed this. They had a protest at Universal City. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. They had the masturbating bear there. It was so funny. And the best thing for us was that the masturbating bear, the video froze right at the moment.
Oh, good.
You know what I'm
saying? Oh, excellent. That's what you want.
It stayed there for like 5 minutes.
Was that on purpose, Harvey?
No, I thought it was just luck.
Just happened. All right.
It has been fascinating to watch. I mean, it's been a long time since people have cared this much about late night, but it's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out. And as of right now, Conan's last show will be this Friday. Is that right?
It appears to be. And then remember, when the Olympics starts, at the end of the Olympics, Jay's going to take over the Tonight Show again. So it's almost like a Dallas-type dream where it never happened.
The Olympics are February 12th? I want to say
February 12th.
Yeah.
And then when they come back, Jay's back on, Conan's gone.
All right.
All right. Be sure to check out TMZ.com. There's so much great stuff we don't have time to get into. How Britney Spears buys stuff she can't afford. Also, Brett Favre doing pants on the ground after the Vikings big win over the weekend, which is hilarious, by the way. So much great stuff on the website and on the TV show. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. We love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
One angel deserved to die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:56.
Go to KevinandBean.com for all the details on the Coachella announcement that we made earlier today, including Jay-Z headlining night number one. How about that? Muse night number two, Gorillaz, and Tom York on night number three. And, of course, hundreds of other bands like they do on Coachella. How about Jeremy Renner?
How about Jeremy Renner?
Star of The Hurt Locker coming in next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that.
Yeah, I can tell. He can barely say his name. So thrilled.
Right now, Ralph Gierman has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Damn me friend.
Thank you, Dick Clark. It's always a pleasure hosting New Year's Eve with you.
Or Harrison Ford. Did you hear that clip I played earlier from the Golden Globes, Ralph?
Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Was that unbelievable?
He's a very... Yeah,
we may need to talk to him tomorrow.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still the talk of the town, the Golden Globes. Congratulations, by the way, to John Lithgow for his performance as the Trinity Killer on Dexter for winning Best Supporting Actor in the drama.
Yep.
So glad to see him and Michael C. Hall win. Just great performances all season long.
It's an amazing show.
Inexplicably, I'm still not quite over the fact that Toni Collette has won yet another award for the United States of Tara, which is unwatchable.
It's a bad show.
It's horrible.
It's a really bad show, but I guess people are impressed that she's able to play a bunch of different roles.
I put on a trucker hat and glasses, and I talk like this, and I'm a man now. Look at me.
Shut up. Is it the show that you hate or her? Or both?
The performance is just it's just a bunch of cliches. It's a bunch of stereotypes she does on a horrible show.
All right.
Just because she... The premise is she has a split personality disorder, so she's all these different people.
Right.
Which is like... actor masturbation, you know what I mean? It's like doing a party trick.
Yeah.
And so people throw awards at it, but it's really not a great performance. When you look at, she was up against Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie.
Oh, she was good.
That's acting.
That's
ridiculous. Yeah, she was good.
That's
yeah.
acting.
Yeah.
And even Tina Fey for 30 Rock, because it was the best comedy television series.
Right.
I mean, I was really angry. It's a flashy thing to do, play multiple personalities.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best performance just because you get to put on different voices and hats and stuff, you know?
Yeah, some of those characters she's playing, especially the guy, are not very believable, that's right. for sure.
And, you know, you get a lot of attention that way, but it's not necessarily the best acting performance, I think. I kind of felt that way, Best Supporting Actress, too, with the Monique one for Precious, and I know it's a high-profile movie, and she plays a monster in it, which, again, is great acting fodder if you get to play... a monster.
Right.
You get a lot of attention. But Anna Kendrick in Up in the Air, who plays his little
Oh, yeah.
Travel companion.
Training, little trainee that he works with in that movie. Such a nuanced, layered, kind of subtle performance. She's remarkable in that film. But it's not very flashy. It doesn't garner a lot of attention, so I'm afraid that she's not going to get her just desserts. So, anyway. We'll wait and see. See what the Oscars have to say. Won't we?
Yes, we will.
Haiti!
Effed. What?
Haiti's in trouble.
What'd you say, Bean?
I said effed. Yeah. Haiti's in trouble.
Haiti. Yeah, they are in trouble.
So what I'd like to do is make this announcement. If you're here locally in Southern California, the English Beat, local L.A. band, the English Beat, legendary band. It's been around for many years. Mirror in the Bathroom.
Really more of an English band than a local band, but popular here, certainly.
Sure. If you'd like to check out their benefit for Haiti.
Oh.
It's happening at the lounge in Venice, California, 625 Lincoln Boulevard, on January the 20th at 7 p.m. InTicketing.com is the website to go to. InTicketing.com, keyword English Beat. You can buy your tickets, and all the proceeds will go to benefit the earthquake relief in Haiti.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but you can call that off because the Armenian comedian is doing... a charity for Haiti. So.
Everyone has to work twice as hard now because the Armenian comedian is doing a benefit. It's going to actually cost Haiti money somehow, I know, with him involved. It will backfire.
Yeah, it's not good.
So you can check that out.
They pulled a woman out. I saw it live on television yesterday. They pulled a woman out of the rubble who had been there since the earthquake. 6 days
she'd
been under a building with no food and no water. And she came out and she looked fine. I mean, she was talking, she was walking.
Wow.
It was crazy.
See Anderson Cooper save that kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid with all the blood on his face?
Yeah. You're running around, grabbing kids. That place looks like just a disaster zone.
You hear the joy in Bean's voice?
I know.
The kid with the blood on his face? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
I'm saying it's awesome that Anderson Cooper was there and he was able to help. He put the camera down and grabbed the kid and took him over to get looked at. I mean... it's just, it's so terrible. There's nothing we can say that brings to life how bad the conditions are over there. I mean, they're literally amputating with knives. I mean, it's just terrible.
Where was Anderson Cooper at Jeff Conaway's house yesterday when he fell down some stairs?
He can't be everywhere.
Well, seriously. He got to get his priorities straight. Some kid in Haiti or Kaniki? Hello?
Yeah.
Easy choice. Apparently, Jeff Conaway, who, of course, we all saw on Celebrity Rehab, trying to get sober. Well, trying.
That's a strong word for what happened.
He was there.
Yeah.
He showed up.
Twice.
Apparently, he fell down a staircase in his home on Monday. His girlfriend, Vicky, who is a princess, by the way. Who is
She's a prize.
She is a charming, delicate young flower.
Yeah.
Said that he has a broken hip, a broken arm, a fractured neck, and a brain hemorrhage.
Wow! Oh, dude.
And he had back issues to begin with. That was part of the problem why he had the...
Yeah, he couldn't get off the drugs because of the pain.
Med addiction. Yeah.
Wow.
Are you watching this season, by the way?
Are you kidding me?
Is it just the best? I feel so dirty.
I know.
Because I can't help but watch these people in pain, but it's fascinating.
It is fascinating, but you do feel bad at the same time for watching.
Mike Starr.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Has gone bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the guitarist for, what's the band?
He was the former bass player for Alice in Chains.
Right, bass player for Alice in Chains.
He likes drugs.
But he needs them.
Yeah.
He needs to be back on the drugs. Because as sober, he's no damn good to anybody.
Yeah.
He's an unhappy, surly, angry man.
But he walked in all hopped up on goofballs and couldn't have been a more pleasant, delightful, clean guy, right?
That's my point. Is
shaking hands and smiling.
On the drugs. Great guy on drugs. Not a good man sober.
Was he on goofballs?
Oh, yeah.
Has that been confirmed? I don't know what he was taking. Whatever he was taking, it was working for him. He shouldn't have stopped. I'm with Ralph.
Spending mad dollars. Do my man being like Frank talking to Harvey? That was magical.
Yeah, those shows make mad dollars.
Those shows on cable make mad dollars.
I didn't even hear that.
Oh,
so,
so sweet.
Oh, they are profitable, if that's what you're asking.
They make mad dollars.
Are you questioning my accounting or my choice of terms?
I just think
choice of terms.
Maybe.
I guess,
yeah.
Last week, by the way, just like revisit, he said, oh, look, we have a sheriff on the line. Let's say hello to the Popo.
He did.
That's true.
Sorry.
Perhaps know your limitations is what we're saying.
Mad dollars.
From the Popo.
I think it's great. I think it's genius.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
like
that.
Larry King trying to rap.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Hey, celebrity birthdays. Jodie Sweetin, you remember her from Full House. She's 28 years old today. Drea Di Matteo, who played Adrian famously on The Sopranos, is 38 years old. Sean Wayans of the acting and comedian Wayans Brothers is 39. Katie Sagal is 53. Comedian Paul Rodriguez celebrates his 55th birthday today. And Dolly Parton celebrates her 64th birthday today. She's looking pretty good for 64.
She has not looked any different from the day I was born till now.
See, that's the magic. If you spackle on tons of makeup early on in your life, I think you can just maintain that look well into your senior years and no one really notices.
And then we think you look great.
Exactly, because it's just in status quo.
Somebody sees her with makeup and they just die.
That's
right on the spot.
Like Medusa, you turn to stone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Psycho Mike is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Renner, let me go get you some coffee. Oh, what can I do for you, sir? I saw this guy in a movie. He was defusing bombs. He's so macho. I love him. I need to serve him. I need to pleasure him. Oh, I love him.
Hey, take it easy there.
He's
dude.
Done all of those this morning.
So he's out of the room. Jeremy Renner is here. He, of course, is one of the fine stars of a film called The Hurt Locker. There's never been a movie easier to see. Check this out, you guys. The Hurt Locker, which is enormously critically acclaimed, has been out since last summer, is in theaters right now, currently in theaters. It's on DirecTV pay-per-view. It's on cable, on demand. You can get it on the iTunes. It's available on DVD. It's you. If you haven't seen this movie yet, it's on you because it couldn't be easier to find. That's my point here today.
And it's an amazing, amazing movie. Jeremy plays Sergeant William James. And you go in. These are the guys that are defusing bombs, IEDs, in Iraq.
That's right.
Tell me about the screenwriter. How did he... Did he go over there?
Yeah, Mark Brolo is actually really not even really a screenwriter. He's a journalist, and he was embedded with EOD in Afghanistan and Iraq, and started writing. I think he ended up writing something for Playboy or Rolling Stone, an article about it, how it's kind of an underreported war, and nobody knows what EOD is, explosive ordnance disposal, IEDs, all these sorts of things. And Catherine got a hold of this article and decided, hey, let's write this movie. I think there's a really interesting story in here.
But so it's not based on one person's story?
No. Character, yeah, no, none of the characters are all sort of fictitious. Even like Will James is not even a really great staple of what EOD is. I mean, he kind of doesn't exist even. And everybody in EOD knows one guy like Will James.
Right.
We don't know if he's alive at this point.
Tell us. Describe him for people who haven't seen the movie. That character.
The character is a bit, I don't know, it goes against the grain, and it's not really the way of the Army or EOD, because you have to follow protocol. So he bends rules and puts his life on the line every day and more so than he actually should.
Right.
And in so doing, he puts, you know, other people maybe in harm's way, perhaps.
When I was watching it, I thought, oh, wow, this is the bad guy. Like, you know, because their reaction to your character immediately is, whoa, we do this by the book and blah, blah, blah. And you're taking off your suit, you're going up, you're working on bombs and stuff. And it rubs them the wrong way. And I thought that's what it was, you know, that's the direction it was going to go. But as the movie goes on, you're kind of become the hero.
Right. Well, that's, I think, the great part of the script and the character. It's just sort of a slow reveal of, I mean, you can certainly judge him as that, which is kind of great.
When you see him at first, you go, wow, this guy is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to work with him.
Right, 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 right. And then as each sort of, you know, cryptic thing starts to happen, then you start to realize, you know, oh, wait, let me rethink this.
He's the guy that we need out there doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's such an adrenaline junkie, and we hear that from time to time of people who are in a war situation, and sometimes I guess you have to be. You need something to get you up and get you going, you know, because it's such a miserable existence. But do people really get hooked on it like your character did in terms of everything else seems mundane and boring compared to the thrill of if I screw up, I blow up?
Well, you know, I don't know if they are so much afraid of death as it is – blown things up is pretty badass.
Right. I mean, really. Right, but is it the adrenaline of this could end poorly every second that...
I don't think it's that. No, they just don't like getting shot at. This is one thing I learned. I trained with the EOD for about a year on and off, and I learned all about explosives, how to build bombs, how to render them safe. And when we're walking downrange onto a 155, they already know how that thing is already put together and how to take it apart like this.
The guys, the actual
guys.
Yeah,
so time on target. They want to get out of there as fast as possible because they know that someone might start shooting at them. They don't know how to deal with that. These guys know how to render safe an IED.
Right.
So they want to get in and out and get it done. They're not worried about that thing going off so much.
As much as snipers.
Some guy
or
just shooting at them. Yeah. They don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Well, you can't stop that guy.
I can
so
see that.
That's what they're more afraid of than the actual explosives.
Where was this movie, The Hurt Locker, filmed, Jeremy?
We were in Jordan in the Middle East, the borders of Iraq.
I hope there were some nicer areas than what we could see on screen, because that looked like a miserable place to make a movie.
Well, it was actually really lovely, but where we shot was miserable, yes, because it was Palestinian refugee camps. We're like 3 kilometers from the Iraqi border in the deserts. But it's actually quite a beautiful place. It has, you know, some of the wonders of the world there. I mean, the Dead Sea and the Red Sea and then Petra, one of the wonders of the world.
Right,
Wadi
right.
Rum, all these really gorgeous landscape places.
And you've got dozens of what appear to be locals who are playing the actors of the people who are, you know, inhabiting, I guess, what would be Iraq. I mean, were those just people that were cast there on location?
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of them were refugees from Iraq.
Really?
There's a scene towards the end of the movie, this suicide bomber. He's an Iraqi actor, which, you know, to my naivete, I didn't know that they were, you know, banging the boards and acting so much.
Getting agents and going out and acting.
It was kind of a strange thing, right?
That was an amazing scene that brought everything to a halt, because it's the first time you realize this guy can't help him. I have that clip.
Exactly.
Set it up. The guy's got a bomb strapped to him.
Yeah. There's a guy that has a lot of high explosives on him. Apparently he says that... someone strapped this to him. They're going to kill my family if I didn't do this. Please get it off me. Help me, help me. And either I believe him or don't. Normally, protocol is shoot the guy first, then take it off of him. But he decides.
Right, because your fear as you approach him is anyone out of your range is going to use their cell phone and set it off and try to kill as many Americans as possible. So, I mean, it's a real crapshoot on how it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, normally they would take him out and then.
But he kept saying, I have a family. I have a family. Help me, help me, help me. And at some point, you realize it's just too late.
There's too many locks. There's too many. I can't do it. I can't get it off. I'm sorry, okay? You understand? I'm sorry. You hear me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And then there's a small explosion.
Man. That guy had a bad day.
Or a huge explosion.
Not a good day.
That's no fun. All right, we need to take a break. Actor Jeremy Renner is here. The film is called The Hurt Locker. As I say, it's available everywhere. You can rent it or iTunes it or go to the theater, whatever you want to do. When we come back, I want to talk about how the movie got made. I want to talk about going through the festivals and then the huge success of this past year and how much – I mean –
A chick made this movie, you guys. That blows my mind. What's up with that?
It is great.
An unbelievably talented director named Catherine Bigelow. So more with our guest, Jeremy Renner, when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Jeremy Renner is in studio. He is talking about his film called The Hurt Locker, which has been out, it's been out in theaters for the public since last summer. It had a life before that, many months previous in the film festivals, which must be such a bizarre but satisfying journey for you this whole time, Jeremy Renner, since you filmed this movie back in 2008 to see how far it went.
I feel like it's even longer. It's been 3.5 years, I think, since I started this journey.
Wow.
Do you get to the point where you go, all right, it's getting critical, acclaim, but it's not really getting the response that we were hoping? Does that get depressing sometimes?
It done way better than you thought it would do?
Just finishing the movie was an absolute triumph. This is a little independent film we shot in the Middle East, so to get this far, everything is just icing at this point. So, yeah, it's been a slow roll. And then, how fantastic is it?
But the critics got us this far. Yeah, word of mouth gets it going. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What is, forgive me if I missed this in the film, but what is the Hurt Locker a reference to? What's that expression mean?
Well, it depends on who you're asking, I suppose. I think he's asking you. Let me ask you, what do you think the Hurt Locker means?
Ooh. Well, having seen the movie, it seems like this guy basically just bundles up and puts away everything that's painful in his life. Okay. And he puts it in an imaginary place called the Hurt Locker.
Right. Okay.
But I didn't write the movie. I don't know what it's really supposed to be.
I mean, there's a slang term sort of, if an IED goes off and you survive, you're going to be in the Hurt Locker. That's the idea. But when I first read it, I thought it was a hospital bed, a casket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then while we're shooting the movie, the food got us so a little sort of dysentery-like-ish happening.
So you were in the Hurt Locker then?
The outhouse was the Hurt Locker.
Okay, all right.
So I got really good at taking that bomb suit off very fast. Yeah. And excuse me, I'm going to the Hurt Locker.
Be back. That needs to be our new expression for the bathroom here.
Yeah, I'm going to the Hurt Locker. I'll be back.
That suit doesn't seem to help much.
No.
It doesn't seem comfortable, I'll tell you that.
It looks like it's impossible to put on. It's a suit that's supposed to protect them from the bomb going off, from hurting them. And it doesn't seem to really work.
It does for shrapnel.
Okay.
With marbles, nails, whatever sort of connected to the high explosives, even rocks, things like that. And only within 50 to 300 meters or so, I'm not quite sure what those numbers are anymore. I kind of forget, but it's for shrapnel and not for
the explosion.
The explosion itself.
Sure, yeah. Let me make this point about the Hurt Locker too, because there have been quite a few movies that have been made that are either directly about or tangentially about the conflicts in the Middle East and the U.S. involvement there.
Stripes, for example.
And some of them,
great movie.
Some of them have created some controversy because of the point of view. The thing about the Hurt Locker is, unless I'm wrong, it's completely apolitical. There's no statement whatsoever on the mission beyond the micro story of these soldiers and how they try to survive day to day. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it empowers
politics.
No, none. It's just it empowers the audience to kind of walk away what they need to walk away with. Tells you or forces you to think. Really, forces you to feel. But not what to think or what to feel.
Yeah, I didn't think of that while I was watching it. But yeah, thinking back about it, it is rare to see a movie like that without a take, without an angle.
Yeah,
it seems odd because they all do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Catherine Bigelow, who, of course, is the director of The Hurt Locker, has done a bunch of other movies before. And we were laughing earlier how strange this award season has been for her to be going up against her ex-husband, James Cameron, for Avatar in so many categories. And I think she won one over the weekend and James Cameron won another one over the weekend. But were there people in the 2008 or whenever the movie was made who thought, well, no woman's making this movie. This can't be right. Were people surprised to see that this was the material she wanted to bring to the screen?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody thought she's on crack or something, but it was a very it was just a very deep, deep, deep hole.
Yeah,
that we were, because we all know that in Iraq war drama in this landscape with three sort of fresh faces, that's not box office gold, my friends.
Yeah, so that does seem like a long journey.
Yeah, to try to get money to get that made is that's an arduous process.
And three relatively unknown actors. I mean, not huge stars yet. That had to make it even a little bit more difficult.
That's what I was saying. Absolutely, as your leads. Yeah. And then she got Guy Pearce and all these other wonderful actors: Ralph Fiennes, David Morse, Evangeline Lilly.
Was on screen for too little. and I would like to register a complaint with someone.
Who do I go to?
Yeah, is there a movie is there for something 30 seconds?
It seems like there ought to be a DVD version of your story from her point of view, which is us watching her walk around the house in her underwear waiting for the phone to ring.
She was underused is what we're saying. Not happy with her participation in the story.
You go to Lost, she's in a bikini all the time.
That's true.
That is a good point.
You know what I mean?
We do that as well.
It's not cheap in it.
I'm just saying.
It does tell you something about the quality of this script and story, though, that guys like Ralph Fiennes and Guy Pearce, you know, and David Morris, you mentioned, that they sign on to do it because, you know, obviously they didn't have to. And it was a surprise to me when each of them came up on the screen because I think it's smart. You're not advertising it as being a movie about, you know, by these people, starring these people, because it isn't. But they're fine actors, too, and it must have helped to have their endorsement.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it helped us get the movie made. It's a big testament, I think, to Catherine, the respect she has in this industry, and I think the script as well. And I think Rafe really wanted just to run around and shoot a gun and be kind of
is that it?
A bad boy for a minute.
More than anyone else on the cast?
He really had a really good time.
He had a good time. That's odd.
What's next for you, Jeremy?
I'm going to finish this cup of coffee and grab a sandwich.
I don't think he means quite that literally.
Michael, go with you. I know that much.
I'm going to the Hurt Locker.
It's not one of ours, is it?
No.
Okay, all right, just checking.
No, I got. There's a movie called The Town that Ben Affleck directed, and that comes out September or October. Sort of crime, more a bunch of bank robbers. Should be good fun.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Have you already shot that, or you're still going to shoot it?
Already shot it. Yeah.
All right.
And then what's
you are terrific in this movie, and I know you've been hearing that for, you know, 2 years, but seriously, we can't recommend this enough to the Kevin Bean listeners. You are outstanding in this film, and it really is a great movie. And like I said, when you sat down, it couldn't be any easier to find. Whatever format you want it in, it is available, and you should definitely check out The Hurt Locker. And good luck. I know there's still some more awards still to come. I'm, you know, got my fingers crossed for good things at the Oscars for you guys as well.
We need lots of luck, that is for sure.
Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate you coming in.
Ralph, you should have been in here to see Psycho Mike just slobbering all over Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's embarrassing.
I shouldn't have been here.
You know that chair that you're sitting in?
Yeah.
The chair that we just got, the new chairs that we just got because we've been complaining for years?
Yes.
Psycho Mike picked it up and threw it across the room to get it out of the shot with he and Jeremy.
I didn't want to distort the picture.
Literally threw it down over here, almost knocked the building down.
He breaks this shit chair. I forget it.
That's what I'm saying.
It was between him and his boyfriend, though, and he wouldn't have it. He couldn't get that chair out of the way fast enough. All right, do go see The Hurt Locker, though. We're not just saying that because he was here. It is a terrific movie. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
People still talking about how they can donate much-needed funding for the relief project in Haiti, of course, devastating earthquake taking its toll. And they're still trying to dig people out, let alone worry about medical and food and that kind of stuff. So money is much needed. And Linkin Park is doing their part. They've got a nonprofit charity called Music for Relief. And they have developed a new project called Download to Donate for Haiti, where they've called artists to donate new songs. And they have created a downloadable album. And if you go to musicforrelief.org, fans can download that album for a donation for Relief for Haiti.
That's cool.
So Linkin Park, of course, has new music there, as does Slash, Peter Gabriel, All American Rejects, Hoobastank, the Dave Matthews Band, Alanis Morissette, Enrique Iglesias, and others. So you can check it out at musicforrelief.org if you want to find a way to donate to Haiti and get yourself a little something-something as well.
That's one of those stories that it seems like they come and go quickly, usually.
Yeah.
You hear about it, you get the relief effort, and then it kind of goes away in the headlines. This one seems like it's worse now than it was a week ago. Doesn't it?
Well, it is, because they've got they had the earthquake and thousands and thousands of people died and then were injured. But now those injuries are getting much worse because they're, you know, infected and contaminated. They got no medical help. Yeah.
The government ran, right?
Right.
It's pretty much
collapsed. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Haiti is known for having an excellent government.
That's
they usually really stand by their people there.
Anderson Cooper is the only one there trying to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And he looks so fresh every day. How does he do it? He always looks like he's exfoliated, his hair is good, he's in clean clothes. How is he doing it?
Dry shampoo spray.
Yeah, maybe.
So he does it. Spray and comb. That's the secret, man.
Is it? I've never heard of that.
Never heard of dry shampoo?
No.
Oh. World's greatest invention, man.
Well, why don't you just take a shower?
Because what if you're out there in Haiti and there's an earthquake and there's no running water to take a shower?
All right.
What if you're that guy?
That's a good example, but I never have been.
No, people use it like when they go camping in the woods and stuff or everything. You spray it on, it absorbs the oil in your hair, and then you brush it out.
Who knew?
By the way, if you take a shower, if you're in Haiti covering this disaster and you waste a drop taking a shower, you're an a-hole. There are literally people dying because they can't get water to their lips.
Kevin,
dry shampoo.
Why don't you kill more people while you're at it?
I'm just
cause more earthquakes.
I don't think I caused
like
it.
You did.
Malibu Kevin?
I don't think that
was Malibu Kevin. Oh, I had shower and champagne. Why do those Haitians, why are they worried about water? Click vouvau all in my hair when I wash it.
Stop it.
Kevin's throwing out fruit because it's bruised. I mean, he's just doing everything he can to rub it in their faces. And nice job breaking up the killers over the weekend, too, by the way, Kevin. We forgot to mention that. Good job, Kevin.
Meanwhile, back to the showbiz news. It's Tuesday. That means new releases, CDs, and DVDs are available. Here's what you can pick up if you're so inclined. New CD by Spoon! Transference is the name of that. Check it out. In The Invention of Lying, the Ricky Gervais movie with Jennifer Garner, which I liked a lot.
It wasn't very good.
A lot of people poo-pooed it, but I enjoyed it
enormously.
Yo! I'm with the monkey on this one.
That's available on DVD today. Gamer with Gerard Butler, Amber Valletta, and Michael C. Hall. Pandorum, not to be confused with the planet of Pandora, made so popular in Avatar.
Avatar.
Dennis Quaid stars in that film. Whiteout, Kate Beckinsale's science fiction comic book movie is available today as well. Aziz Ansari's special from Comedy Central, Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening, is also available on DVD today. Speaking of Comedy Central, maybe they should just relax and not crank up the commercials for the Artie Lang comedy special so much coming up this weekend on Comedy Central. Maybe, I don't know, just put it on the shelf, considering the guy stabbed himself 9 times, is laying in a hospital bed. Maybe we want to push, hey, here's fat, funny man Artie Lang coming up this weekend on Comedy Central. Woo, let's laugh at this fat slob. Ha-ha-ha, Artie Lang. Stabbing himself.
You're saying back off on that a bit?
Just saying timing. Timing.
Yeah.
Timing is everything. Comedy Central should know that.
Yeah. If anyone.
If anything, because the, you know, the secret of comedy. Timing!
Is he, I've enjoyed him on the Stern Show over the years, but I don't know anything about his stand-up. Is he a funny guy doing comedy?
I don't particularly like his stand-up, but maybe you would.
Beanwood.
Yeah. Beanwood, because he's so bawdy. With those mad dollars he makes.
Look up body. All right, keep going.
This is Avadah.
TV on DVD, Damages, the complete second season, is available for your viewing pleasure. How about that beard William Hurt was rocking, speaking of Damages? How about that beard?
That's quite
some skin cabbage he was working on there, wasn't it? Like some chin spinach he was working on there. I was impressed.
He was President Chester A. Arthur for a minute. I don't know why, but...
Him and Brad Pitt are having a beard off, apparently, and no one let me in on it.
That looks worse than he does.
And Monique, while we're speaking of beards, she had one going, too.
Yeah,
and her calves. And Weeds Season 5 is available on DVD. You can check that out as well. As we mourn the passing of the founder of Taco Bell... We also have to mourn the end of the relationship between Chris Pine and Olivia Munn. Apparently, they've split up, according to People magazine. Sorry to hear that. However, Katy Perry and Russell Brand are still going strong.
No.
Russell Bland. Here's how they met. Do you know how they met?
I thought it was at the MTV Awards.
It was. It was backstage at the MTV Video Music Awards. But they didn't meet in a conventional way, as you can imagine with these two crazy kids.
Yeah.
Apparently... Katie threw an empty water bottle as hard as she could at his head backstage to get his attention.
Okay, so she initiated?
She did.
No way!
She smacked him in the head with a water bottle.
Was she mad at him?
No!
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 It was just pigtails in the inkwell, I think, that sort of thing.
Wow.
She was monkeying around, thinking she was being funny and cute. He turned around, saw them.
Yeah.
Fell instantly in love.
Sure. Who wouldn't?
They have been inseparable ever since, and of course now are making plans to tie the knots.
No! No! Let's face it, Katy Perry could come up and hit you in the kneecap with a tire iron, and you'd still go out with her.
Of course.
I mean, it doesn't matter what she does. As long as you can, you will.
Ask her to hit me harder. Please, sir, may I have another? That's what I'd say.
This is Avadah.
No, we're not even talking about that movie now. Please.
Avadah. Please. There is no movie Avadah, by the way.
And by the way, F you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, coming out. If you're wondering why I'm here, it's because I'm friends with James Cameron. And also, we made a deal with Fox for all the half the box office receipts of Avatar to go towards the California budget.
F you! It's not funny! You spent our state into bankruptcy! Get off of the television on the funny, cute little award show and try to do some governing! You miserable excuse for a governor! It's not funny to me!
Is it all right if I laugh at you being annoyed?
I don't know when he thought the bankruptcy of one of the largest states in the union was a big ha-ha comedy moment.
Yeah.
It's not ripe for comic fodder. It's serious trouble, and he put us there, and he's ha-ha-ha-ha, because he's leaving office soon, and he's going to go live on a yacht.
But isn't it, aren't there situations so dire that you laugh or cry? Those are your choices. He's choosing to laugh about it.
But he's the one responsible. Is that like an
this
act of God?
This is Avada.
Where, well, we have to, you know, we have to laugh because we'll cry if we don't because it's out of our control. He's the one!
Well, it's not all his fault. He didn't create the recession.
This has been coming long before the recession. This has been 8 years of this BS.
I don't think this is all his fault, Ralph.
Okay, you're right. He's blameless. My bad.
I'm not saying that either, but that's kind of
sad. I thought it was a pretty funny line.
Of course you did.
You live in Washington State.
Of course you did. You live on an island in Washington State. What do you care? You have no state tax there.
Yeah. Bean just wants everyone to die, so that's the side he's on.
Yeah. That's it. I'm Ralph. Okay.
Nicely done. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. We are going to tell you about the L.A. Gang Tour, which really exists. We're going to have some American Idol highlights. I guess there's still some more bad singers.
Bagow, bagow, bagow.
I always love that. Going to talk
huge
about
ratings this year, Kevin. Huge ratings. It's not too late for you to get on board and be there for the excitement and the magic and the magistry.
Are they still going to sing songs I hate poorly?
You don't want to miss the magistry.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
I'm out.
There's some hotties this year, though.
Women with hairy legs and Paul Bettany in studio tomorrow talking about Legion.
What?
Very excited about that.
He's an angel.
Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He has wings.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Muse, one of the bands that is headlining one of the nights of Coachella 2010. She'll also have tickets for you to win to go to Coachella in person before they go on sale. She'll also play some Everlast, 30 Seconds to Mars, The Offspring, MGMT, and more coming up after this on K-Rock.